welcome to another episode of If Lands Could Kill. I'm Knife City.
So and Crow.
And this is Hot Sauce.
And this is episode 103. Last week we had, we tried something. We experimented. You know, we are in the college phase of our podcast. And, you know, we were just
My kind of time.
We were just curious and wondering if it felt good. And Hot Sauce did a solo cast.
That was your cue to talk about it, but
what? What do you want me to say?
This is good. This is fantastic. Do you awake? Drink some of your coffee.
You should probably start this over.
I was just going to not talk until you guys said something. Go ahead. I mean, this is a three-man podcast. Go ahead and chime in whenever you're ready. But yeah, Hot Sauce did a one-man cast, and I listened to it. Garbage, of course. But it was like...
Hot garbage.
But it was like...
It was like garbage that was neatly tied up in a bag, and you couldn't smell it, and you're like, are there clothes in there?
It was
that like...
Anybody put an old man's porch and lit it on fire? A Febreze-branded trash bag.
Yeah.
The, you know, the stretchy ones that are like, hold way too much weight? You're like, how is it doing this?
It looked like it would be comfortable if you wore it as a shirt. Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
But it's just too hard to cut with scissors.
Yeah.
No, it's impossible.
So, no, I listened to it. I had some chuckles. Did a good job. So, round of applause.
Thanks.
Yay.
There you go. There you go.
Wow.
It's hard to be, like, funny. I don't know if I was, like, really funny. I just, because I don't know. How do you even be funny by yourself? That's, like, tough. You got to have, like, I feel like you almost have to have, like, bits ready. Because on the fly, you're, like, laughing with yourself. That's, like, not a, it's not really a thing, you know?
That's why I said there's chuckles. It's hard to, like, full on bust a nut.
Yeah, I didn't have anything ready to actually like make someone laugh. It was more just like filler, and I had this topic that I wanted to talk about for like the past month, but we never got around to it. So I was like, all right, doing it. It's a good thing to do it then, because it's instead of just me coming up with shit on the fly and making it like a total mess of a cast. If you have a structure, way easier to do it single man. So if you ever do it again, or if you do it or something like that, highly recommend you just have the whole thing planned out.
Yeah.
Like from top to bottom, and don't have any dead at time. Like, oh, I'll come up with something for this segment. It's like, no, don't even do that. It's going to be you editing the shit out of it, which luckily I didn't have to. I only had to edit out every time I drank from my beer.
Ah. So, you know, there is a tool in Audacity called Truncate Silence. And you can set the setting to where it's like high or low. Or anyways, it takes out a certain amount of silences. So next time you're boring, you can use that tool.
Exactly.
No, I do commend you. It was a Zuby-esque cast. And yeah, you kick Zuby's ass. I mean, you really put him in his place. That piece of shit.
Thank God.
Podcaster, if you can call it that.
Wow. Yeah, this is aggressive. I like him. I don't know what the hell's wrong with you.
No, I like him as a person. He's great. But the people he brings on as cast, like interviews, dude, those people are nobodies. They're fucking...
Obviously, if you were on there, it's horrible people only.
How did you even get on there? He has like real names in Magic on there, and then they got like you. Everyone's like looking at the show
who's
notes, like the little intro.
I just picked up the phone one day, and it was like, hey, did you call me? No. Did you call me? No. Well, I guess, do you want a podcast? Sure.
Did you send him a picture of your dick slit and he's so impressed he had you on?
No, I actually sent the guys from Ninjas of the Deep Hour a picture of my dick slit. Within an hour of meeting them and talking to them, hey.
He's a whore. Like, really, straight up, just like, hey, I'm interested in you. Hintity hint, hint, here's a picture of my dick.
Well, there was, like, context to it. It was an unwarranted.
I want another context to showing you a dick slit after meeting you for an hour.
I would say
let's role play later.
I would say they have like blackmail material, but I don't think anyone could even care a little bit.
It's impressive. Like it's not
exactly.
Like it's like Moses parting the fucking sea, dude. It's like insane. How is there so much room?
Have I not sent that picture to you guys?
No, don't do it. I haven't seen the hot dog one either. That's the most famous thing.
Yeah, I had the hot dog picture. I forwarded it to, I don't remember who. I think I told you. I said, I'm going to send it to Joe.
Yeah.
That's what it was. And so when I forwarded it, my phone saved it in like the sent received file. Like whenever I send and receive from a text, it's a picture, it'll like save it in that automatically.
Yeah.
And so I'm going through like my picture, like the folders for the pictures, and I'm like, that was the cover. That was the thumbnail of the folder. I'm like, damn it, I just wanted to send it. I want to save it. Like, get out of here. It's a forward, you piece of shit. You know? So I had to delete that right away.
I think one guy on Magic and Hash like even showed his wife. He's like, hey babe, fucking check it out. He has a cigarette in its mouth.
In its mouth. Dicks don't have mouths.
This one does. Fucking piranha plant up
it's
in this
not
bitch.
Right.
Oh my god. For Halloween I should paint it up as the piranha plant. Awesome.
Petey piranha.
Yeah. So if you're not familiar with the cast,
yeah,
we like to shoot the shit for about 45 hours, and then we get around to some magic stuff. And so let's kick it off with our segment, long-holding segment of what the fuck have you guys been doing this week?
Crow's had an interesting week.
I'm actually down to hear this. This is the thing about, you know, us being friends. We've mentioned it before that we have something to talk about, and then we're like, oh, we just got to save it to the cast, right? We can't talk about it now to get some honest reactions and whatever else. And not like anything he's going to say right now is going to be some funny joke or something like that. But whenever we have something going on in our lives, it's like, all right, should I tell you now or should we just wait and then we can talk about it then? So I'm interested to hear. What's up?
Okay, so first off, you know, I'm sure you talked about it on your solo cast, which I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. You had a unfortunate put your kitty down.
I did.
Bye-bye, Bert.
Pussy down.
Well, maybe 5 days ago now. I'm hanging out at home with my son. My wife's working.
It was the day after we put the cat down.
Yeah,
it was like,
so the next day.
We were like, what the fuck is happening in the world right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, so I have a cat, Loki, not even 2 years old yet. Cool-ass cat. Me and my son are hanging out the other day. I keep noticing him laying on one of the beds, like, kind of awkwardly throughout the day. I'm trying to see him. He's kind of laying there awkwardly. I don't think anything of it. I'm just thinking, like, whatever, he's being lazy. Well, then me and my son go downstairs, come back upstairs. Now he's in the other room, and, like, he's looking all weird. He walks across the room. Tries to jump up onto a chair that's, you know, easy for a cat to jump onto, and he gets, like, halfway up, like, hits it, and then, like just, like, body freezes and slumps down into a pile. And then, like, you know, kind of gets it back up quickly, but so I pick him up, I'm like, something's not right. Like, that was not fucking correct.
Yeah.
And so I'm, like, trying to, like, feel him, like, there's nothing that I'm touching that's hurting him, nothing, whatever. So I call my wife, like, I don't know what's going on, honey, I need to come home. Like, her aunt works at a vet hospital. So, like, she came home. Took him down there, and, like, it's getting worse and worse, and, you know, he's now, like, gone from, and I just want to be picked up because he knows what's going on. So he gets on the bed, he jumps down, and, like, his arms, like, go, like, straight out. Like, he can't control him, so he's, like, he's trying to walk, and he just keeps falling on his face. It's hard to watch.
Yeah, it's big
nothing
time.
Funny about it. It's, like, it's, like, heartbreaking going, what the fuck is happening to my cat? Like, it's not right. It's not right. And so we take him in there, like, fucking, we're, like, freaked out a little bit because it's not right. And my wife knows that particular exam room that they take him into. She's like, every time they come in this room, it's not fucking good. It's always bad news in this room. This is always the more intense room. So I'm, like, already sitting there, and, like, the whole time he's freaking out. At one point, we're waiting for the doctor to come in after the nurse dude, like, examines him. I'm holding him. I kind of flip, you know, roll him over as I'm holding him. And at this point, like, he just, like, completely freezes. Like, his body's not moving at all at this point. And his face looks so fucking scared. It's so horribly intense. And, like, and I kind of realized afterwards.
I need you to paint a worse picture. That's what you need to do.
He was
just keep going with this.
Yeah, it was fucking
horrible.
Let me know. I'm telling you, dude. It was so fucking bad.
How did you feel about this? Let's get your heartbreaking feelings. Not you. I'm talking to Crow.
Literally, you know, I'm not going to lie. I fucking cried through this situation. Like, I'm looking at my cat who's now
fucking
literally paralyzed in my arms.
Oh my
God. It was a fucking... It gets worse.
Yeah, that's what happens to dogs and cats when they're in a lot of pain. They just freeze up.
No, but it wasn't even that. He legitimately was paralyzed in my arms. He couldn't move. That's why his face was so fucking scared because he literally couldn't move and didn't know what was happening to him. So then... You know, rolling back over, and he ends up being able to, like, kind of move, but now his back legs won't work. And then the doctor's, like, saying, like, this doesn't look good. And she's talking about, like, you know, it could be a neurotoxin or something like that. And I'm like, no, as far as we know, we didn't get into anything. And she's like, another thing is it could be spine damage. That's how he's, like, crossing his arms and this and that. Like, cats don't do that. Take him back there, and she said, if it's spinal damage, like, that's it. Like, there's nothing you can do about it. Take him back there for some x-rays, comes back, and sure enough,
like three of his vertebrae are not broken, but they're like smashed together. Yeah. And he has full on major spinal cord damage.
That's fucking sad.
And it's just like, you know, in the moment, you know, the heart drops kind of thing. It's like, fuck me, are you kidding me? And she's like, she kind of tells us, like, so, like, we can put him down now, or you guys can kind of take him home tonight and bring him back in the morning and have, like, a night to say goodbye to him. So we're like, okay, well, we're going to take him home because, you know, the chance to say goodbye to him is so fucking sudden and abrupt. Take, you know, so you give him, like, a little fucking pain shot and, you know, another one for us to take home for him. And so throughout the night, now, like, I've called out of work, and I'm having to explain to my son that, you know, he's going to lose his first cat he's ever really, because this is, like, my son's, like, first pet. Like, he's had other animals around him, but this is, like, the first one that he basically got. And, like, who he has helped raise and who has helped raise him, and it's, like, one of his best friends. And I'm having to explain to him that Loki's going to die tomorrow. Like, this is shitty. And so, you know, the whole night of, like, trying to take care of him, give him all kinds of, like, wet food and milk and everything you possibly, you know, do to make him feel good.
Yeah.
And hang out with him. Yeah, give him cheeseburgers. Like, say goodbye to him. Yeah. And so, like, you know, and then he'd do little things where he'd, like, you know, curl, like, how cats have their individual things. They kind of curl a certain way or purr or whatever. He'd do those, and, like, it'd be real cute. You'd think it'd be exciting. And the next thing you know, you'd see his, like, back legs twitching because he couldn't control them. Mm-hmm. And it's like, fuck. So it was just, it was not an easy night.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it.
It was pretty fucking rough, man. But then throughout the night, like, every time he'd do one of those little, like, little movements of, you know, himself, like, the legs, the uncontrollable leg twitching and things would get a little less and a little less and a little less. And by morning, I'm like, we're talking to my wife, like, you don't want to get your hopes up because it's not right. You've been told by the fucking vet that, like, he is done. Like, we're putting him down this morning. But you're looking at him, and he looks like he's getting stronger, and you just don't know what the fuck's going on. By the time we take him into the vets, it's like, Jesus, like, we have to have him, you have to re-examine him, because something is, like, incredibly better right now. Like, this doesn't seem right. Like, he's way better. She checks him out, starts feeling him instantly, like, she's feeling his spine. She goes, she's like, her face just lights up and goes, holy shit, like, this is miraculous. He's, like, 100 fucking times better than he was yesterday. So, let's give him a cortisone shot, a steroid shot, and see how he does. This is now 5 days later, and he's kicking ass. And somehow has survived major spinal cord
damage. Is he back to, like, normal? Or, like,
just about.
Almost? Okay.
Yeah. Like, now he's walking around fine. We're keeping him drugged up so he doesn't get overexcited and, like, activate any kind of thing going on. So we're keeping him kind of, like, docile and segregated in a room so the other cat doesn't attack him. But...
Did you get x-rays again?
No.
To see if, like, the spinal thing is still there? Or
no, but she felt him, like... She's, like, I don't know, as a vet, she could feel, like, the muscles palpitating or whatever, something like that around the spine where it was before. And it's like before where it was like so crammed up and fucked up, now it's all loose and feels fine. So we're taking him back in to get it re-examined in a couple of days, I think, but he's been somehow unbelievably fucking fine.
I mean, there's only one way to describe this, and it's through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. The first time in my life I prayed for my kitty.
Yeah, what did you do? Did you sell your soul?
You prayed for pussy?
I don't have a soul. Did you sell whatever you could pass as a soul?
Yeah. Like, take this damnation. I don't care.
No. Let's not go that far. No, I don't know. It was fucking a lot of stress and a lot of thinking our cat's going to die and a lot of, you know, saying goodbye and all kinds of shit. And somehow, like, one out of a fucking thousand chance managed to come back from spinal cord
damage.
It's
like so awesome though. Like,
yeah.
And good for your son too, man. You know how to take it. I mean, even though it's really sad. It's supposed to be sad. Like, it's not no shame in that, of course. But for the kid, you're like, you don't want to have your kid go through that shit.
Oh, that needed 100 times worse. Like having to like my son has like knows other animals have been put down, but like this is his cat that would have been killed. So like that morning, he has a thing where he goes. My son's name was Darby. He calls himself Dr. Darby sometimes when he's putting a bandaid on one of us. So he did like the whole Dr. Darby thing where he gave the cat a shot and put a bandaid on his ass and like, yeah, Dr. Darby, you're gonna be okay, Loki. And looks at me and goes, I think Loki needs a real doctor, Daddy. I'm like, oh Jesus Christ,
I'm gonna start tearing up right now.
Jesus Christ, oh God, it was so heartbreaking. So that morning he had to go to school.
That's been it for episode 3.
Yeah, God, it was so. I'm telling you, this was a fucking stressful fucking week. Holy shit! And then he had to go to school that morning. We were gonna put him down. So my mom took him to school for us, and it was fucking awesome to be able to. We picked him up and got to tell him, "Hey, Loki's still alive." And he's like, "Oh, Doctor Darby did it. Doctor Darby did it. Like, yeah, buddy, you did it, man. You did it." So it was, I don't know. Pretty fucking.
He should be a doctor now.
Yeah.
He should be a vet.
Pretty crazy. Other than that.
Crazy.
I also don't have a job anymore. So that's good.
The hits just keep on coming. What the fuck?
What the fuck happened there? Jesus Christ.
Well, I've already been on a performance contract there because of being late or whatever, because I've just been fed up with the place. It's turning more and more corporate and it's kind of bullshit, so I've been kind of like not caring as much. But then I got somebody to cover my shift for the night of saying goodbye to my cat, and that person picked up the shift and then, without telling me, canceled their pickup of the shift. So that was a no-call, no-show for a shift.
Ah, that's nice.
And then I got let go the next day. So it was great. So, yeah, this has been a good week, guys.
Fantastic.
Well, the cat didn't pass. So like,
fucking
all. Something's alive. Yeah. I'd give up my job for a fucking animal.
Whatever. I was kind of done working there anyways. So I'm going to figure something else out now. So, other than that, fun things were, if you guys are considering seeing Lego Batman at all, if you're going to consider seeing it, go fucking see it.
Heard it was good.
It's fucking fantastic.
I mean, I like the other Lego movie. And that's got a good sense of humor to it.
And the best part about the Lego movie was Batman in that movie. And so that's why I got his own movie. And it is fucking super fucking good. I don't want to get into it at all, but go see it. It's really fucking good. I was laughing and smiling the whole damn time. They go into, like, the depths of, like, other villains and, like, all the way down to Condiment Man, which, if you don't know, is a real fucking thing in the Batman universe.
No, I do not know
that. Yes, you don't know that.
I know Ballpoint Bananas. I don't know Condiment Man.
Yeah, so there's all kinds of shit, and it's super funny, super good.
So I got a question for Knife real quick. Do you have any opening spots at your work for our friend over here?
Yeah, right. I was going to jokingly ask him about that, too.
I'm just saying, like,
Not at all.
Out. You need somebody to be an asshole.
I'm trying to not let them know who I really am.
Yeah.
Remember a couple episodes ago, he said he was, like, mentoring one of his coworkers?
Yeah.
Younger guy? That's part of the job.
Yeah.
He can put that on the resume and be like, I mentored a 21-year-old on how to get drunk and fuck women.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure this is all I need.
He's like 22.
If I just,
he's 22.
If I just do the complete opposite, then I'm in, right? Like, yeah.
So I know what not to do. Okay. I got it. That's all I need to know.
So yeah, I went and saw that movie with my dad and my son. So we had a great time seeing Lego Batman. Other thing is, I picked up Halo Wars 2.
Oh, yeah.
I know streams. You guys aren't in about it, whatever.
No,
but,
I'm in. I'm okay. All in. Oh, yeah.
It's fun. It's good. It's the most annoying thing about Halo Wars, the first one, was like the slow movements and the camera scrolling being slow and, like, you know, just the overall slowness of the vehicles and everything you're doing. This, like, it's so streamlined and everything's so quick and everything has fast movements to it. It feels good. It feels like you're playing on a PC.
They had bad, like, groupings where, like, you can, like, to get, like, you couldn't get, like, separate squads where you just hit, like, a hotkey and then you just, like, one squad number one, squad number two, and all that shit. You kind of, like, just highlighted what was there and just attacked with that.
That's
what I mean.
That is hotkeys.
Now they have hotkeys where you can actually have, like, your troops over here and then, like, your tank-style vehicles over here, and you can go ahead and have them shoot at two different targets instead of just everything attacking one constantly. So that's, like, a pretty... I mean, I know the first one was pretty good, but it did... It was really good for being, like, a controller, console, you know, RTS, but there were things that you're like, man, this does not hold up to, like, a standard PC, mouse, and keyboard RTS. But my understanding is it's getting closer and closer now, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've played maybe 5 hours of it so far. Played some campaign. There's a new mode in there called Blitz. That's pretty fun. It's kind of like if they wanted to put the game on into, like, a mobile game style of it.
Yeah, it has the cards, right? Too.
Yeah. So it's a little bit, you know, it's more like it's capture the flag, basically, or capture zones, kind of a deal, basically. But then you know you're able to unlock cards and have leaders who have certain abilities and do different fucking things, and different units go out and all kinds of shit, and you know.
Is that King of the Hill? Is that what Halo is? Capture the Zone? Or was King of the Hill something different?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Well, no, King of the Hill, it was like one spot that would move around.
Ah, okay.
This is three, like, flagged points.
Gotcha.
You know, so it's a typical zone capture.
Gotcha.
Type of deal, but it's pretty fun. So yeah. Campaign, multiplayer, and Blitz is, so far.
I'll get it when it's cheaper. I mean, I know, like,
It's a Halo game. It's not going to be cheaper.
It'll be cheaper eventually.
Yeah, I mean, like, 3 years.
It'll take a while. It'll take a little bit. Halo 5 went cheap pretty fast.
It did, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, it's a little different. I guess Halo series is definitely on the lower end nowadays.
Like, I don't want to pay 60 is my point. Yeah, I think I'd rather pay just less than 40, basically, is what I'm looking for.
I want to say, like, I downloaded the beta of that and played it.
It was. There was an available beta.
Was not impressed. I, like, streamed it for, like, 15 minutes, and then I was like, fuck this game.
I think you talked about it on the cast.
But then again, like, I was just looking at pictures.
The beta was only the Blitz version of it, too.
I don't know. I was just looking at pictures. I'm like, this looks way better than whatever the fuck I played, so.
Well, also, 15 minutes is not, like, long enough to really get a good judge. I mean, if you already you're over the play style and it's just not for you, that's fair. But if you do like
you definitely
style,
went into it, like, not giving it a chance.
Well, but also, it's like, RTSs are really hard to pull off on the console. Regardless if it's better than the original, it's like, I'm still just used to, you know, using the mouse and...
Yeah, which is what you're going into. Like, I mean,
yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe I'll bring it over. You come up by the house, come see it, or watch it on Twitch. Something.
So
it's
download it illegally.
Yeah, if you
allegedly.
If you get it digitally, then it has that Play Anywhere that Microsoft's been doing in the past year or so.
So you can play it on your computer.
Yeah, you can buy it on either on the computer or basically you don't buy it on either. You just buy it on the Xbox Store, which is linked through PC and through Xbox, yeah. And then you have that copy no matter what, and the games like carry over. So like Forza Horizon 3, which I play. That racing game, same thing. It's just like I bought it on the PC, but I went to the console, and then I'm like, okay, just download it, whatever, have it as a backup. And then when I'm like just feeling really lazy and want to be on the couch rather than a computer chair, then I just go in there and play. And it's like the saves take, you know, 45 seconds to load, and then it's like ready to go, done.
I don't think you have to buy it digitally to do that because I had the Halo Wars disc, Halo Wars 2 disc, and like it has the option that's saying it shows like the Windows symbol and the Xbox symbol for going to play it. So I haven't gone online to actually, you know, confirm that, but I'm pretty sure you can buy the disc and still have the same one.
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty sick though. I like that they're doing that. That's like something we all hoped would happen, but we kind of figured it wouldn't because it's just like taking away money from them. Like, why would they do something that just, you know, saves customers money but makes them make less money? But they're doing it, so good for them. I guess they need something to compete with, like, PlayStation sales have been so much higher, so. Maybe they need to do whatever they can to regain some customers.
I mean, because honestly, how many people actually buy it on the console and on the PC? Like, there's a very select few who would do that.
Yeah.
It's not like you're really making all that kind of money on it.
There are certain games, not Microsoft games, but like GTA 5, people would buy it on the console because it came out first on the console. Yeah. And then when it came out on PC and all the mods are available,
it's
like a year later, buy it again for sure. That game is still $60.
Yeah.
It goes on sale sometimes, but even after whatever, 4 or 5 years at this point, I think it's like, or it's probably 4 years at this point, it's still $60. Sometimes it goes on sale for $40 on Steam, but otherwise it's still $60. I'm like, God damn, that is some longevity. That is the real Nintendo, Mario, Halo fucking, you know, that price. That sucks, man. Yeah. But yeah, whatever, I just borrowed it from people and beat that shit. Want to borrow from you? Or borrow
what?
From Joe?
GTA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you never gave it back.
You want it?
No, you don't want it. I'll take it.
No, you don't want it.
You know, speaking of Nintendo, I'm like... kind of getting a little chub for the new Nintendo. I don't like
the Switch.
Yeah, I definitely want to see more and, you know, see what games are coming out. It's not like Xbox where I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna buy it as soon as it comes out because I know there's gonna be good titles. I want to see more of it, but that like Breath of the Wild, I'm like the Zelda game, I'm like, I don't want to fucking get there. Oh,
so now that you have the setup in the garage here, this would be a good place to play as well.
Yeah,
you know, to have
play
like the 2-player style games.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We can play. We can here.
I can bring my Wii U's and we can play fucking Mario Party and shit over here now.
Fuck
in the garage.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, buddy.
Mario Party is like awesome. You know, it's kind of like that. The mini game stuff's always fun. Remember that stupid game? Even though it was terrible, we still liked it. That one from the original Xbox 360 was the...
Oh, you lose again?
Yeah, what was that? That was
a
terrible
game. Oh my
god,
we caught us before on the cast. I fucking know it too.
I just want to say Double Dragon. It's like some stupid... No, that's not. I know it's not. I'm saying that it's a stupid name like that. It's like Double something something or some... It's some stupid action name
god
or whatever.
Damn it.
Anyways, I hate that they have like the rebounding star bullshit where it's like... Oh, you are down so many stars. We're just going to give you more stars. And like, so they make like the winner. You know, you can turn that shit like
I don't
off
think it was
on
Xbox 360. I think it was on the original Xbox.
360, the one I'm talking about.
Fusion Frenzy!
So I think we played Fusion Frenzy 2, so maybe that was the 360, and then the first one was on.
I don't know. All I know is I love Fusion Frenzy.
And it's so bad. It is the worst game. One of the worst games I've ever played. But because it's just with your buddies, it's perfect. You know what else is good, though? Fucking Battle Block Theater.
Battle Block Theater. Amazing.
With, like, you know, four people.
Yeah.
Is the perfect game. Anything by Behemoth, the company that makes those games,
yeah,
is like Castle Crashers and all that shit, is perfect. Those games
Battle
are
Block
spot
Theater,
on.
Even like the campaign, it just has like all this like production value in it, and you're like, fuck, this is good.
And how much do you love that announcer?
I love that.
He's in every game too. They don't change the announcer, and perfect. It's the same style. So they have like six games out right now, the Behemoth, and it's always the same. Nice. Same art style, same announcer, same like. Every character is a different color, so it's like easily distinguishable.
Yeah.
It's so fun. I love those games. Yeah.
So to round out my fantastic week, Magic Duels on my computer is fucked up.
Why is that?
I won't start, and I've done everything. I've done everything for showing like what error is popping up.
Have you just deleted the file and downloaded it again?
No, because I'm afraid of fucking losing everything.
No, it won't.
It
lose
saves
everything.
To the cloud, yeah, bro. Well,
I know,
it doesn't
but
matter if it does. It's not the same thing. There's the game file, and then there's like your save files. They don't have anything to do with each other.
The cloud,
you know.
I know, but I don't know. It's still scary.
Then you don't know. But
no, because sometimes you delete a fucking. An app or whatever off your computer, like it'll delete all the save files and shit too.
I'm saying that the games don't do that. They haven't done that since 2005.
And even if they do, they give you the option once you're uninstalling. They're like, "Would you like to delete the save files?" But you download it through Steam, right?
Yeah.
Then yeah, as soon as you log in, it's gonna have your login. It's like if you were to install Steam on another computer and log into that Steam, it will have your save files.
I've just been so frustrated with fucking it not working and me trying to do all the little options that everybody shows on YouTube for how to like get past it and fix it, and then me doing those perfectly and then not working still. Yeah. It's like oh my god, I spent so many fucking hours and have so many cards in this thing. It'd be so fucking.
If you were to contact them,
it's
though,
just frustrating.
They
as
would
fuck.
Tell you to delete the game file and then redo it.
I know that's the next step to do. I just haven't done it yet because I'm like fucking still.
You're nervous?
Like,
yeah, oh, dude, I hope it doesn't. I hope it all falls to shit.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I hope you're like, you guys are wrong. And it's like, yeah, but we didn't take any flack for it. Like, you're yelling at us, but our.
Well, no, I wouldn't yell at you because that's my last option. Like I've been trying to put it off. I haven't done it yet because I'm like, I don't want it to be fucking fully gone. But it's like 2 weeks now and I've been able to play it because
I want it to be fucked. Fully gone.
I know you do. I know you do. So it's like, okay, this has been a good fucking week. God damn it.
Send us like a screenshot or like take a picture.
Suck my dick.
Of how many hours you have in the game on the Steam library. And then.
Well, that's not truthful though because there's been many, many hours or nights where I have left it on. And, like, passed out or like left during the day and the game's just been on. So it's been rolling through hours.
Okay, well, just get the number divided by two.
There's like 30,000 hours on there.
30,000.
maybe 3,000. I don't know how many, but it's a lot.
That's a little different, yeah.
I know, but I remember it being a very large number. I don't remember what it was.
Well, it converts it into days right away. I don't think it even goes to hours anymore.
No.
Or maybe it does.
I think it's still
hours. Oh, it does still hours. Oh, yeah, yeah. There's another one of those platforms that does days instead. It was... Oh, it never mattered. It was games like Borderlands and shit like that. You look at the timer and it's like, oh, it's in days. Uh-oh. Like, that's not good. Uh-oh. I'm like two and a half days into this. Uh-oh.
It's like in World of Warcraft, you type on, like, whatever character you're on, you type, like, you know, / like, time played or whatever, and it'll tell you. And, like, only every once in a while would you do it, and then when you did it, you're like, oh, man.
It's like checking your bank account. Yeah. It's like you're looking at your checking, and you're like, okay, come on, please be over this number. And then you're like, oh, man, damn it.
$70?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And the good thing about losing a job right now is my tax return just came in, so I have a cushion.
Yeah, that's nice.
Nice.
I've been riding cushions since October. Yeah, I've been, like, burning through. Thinking about how much money I've spent, the money I don't have, like, Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. Yeah, if I was like working this whole time, I'd have like a lot of money in the bank right now.
I haven't told the wife yet I'm not working.
You just go.
Wait.
You just go drink with your friends when you're supposed to be working?
Well, this is Jersey slum. Okay, so. He's going to be able to come over and hang out with us and, you know, be like, all right, hey, I'm going to, you get dressed up and you do the normal thing,
I'm
take a
sleeping
shower.
Here tonight. You know that, right? In your garage.
All that.
I would have played like on that TV. No, it was just,
I'm just saying you can buy yourself a couple more days, bro. It's fine.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, it was on Tuesday that it happened. So I worked Tuesday and then Wednesday and then I don't work Thursday, Fridays. So like Tuesday, I went to work. I came home an hour later. They were already asleep. So she didn't know I would come home after that. And then Wednesday, I was like, oh, yeah, I got the night off. And then Thursday, Friday, I don't work. And then as far as she knows, I'm going to work tonight. But she's house-sitting, so she doesn't know I won't be gone.
Prolonging the pain.
Yeah. And then, so how do you tell your wife that? I don't want to tell her that. I don't talk to her about it.
just get a new job like right away.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, like, I already have something lined up, so it's like I want that to come through.
Just be like, oh, I got a transfer from being a bartender, doorman to now doing. I work at Lowe's. Yeah. No, it's a direct transfer. Yeah, same owner. Yeah, I'm a doorman there.
So yeah, wish me luck.
So what do you want to say what you're going into or what you're trying for?
Oh no, it's the same industry stuff. Okay. Another bar downtown.
Okay, the bar next door.
Place is cool. Actually, yeah, I like it over there.
That'd be cool. That place is cool. I like that.
That's why
sometimes I say cool in one shift. Cool. That place is cool.
Yeah,
cool.
I worked over there for a couple shifts a while back.
Cool.
Hey, yeah, remember that time that you totally left me?
Yeah.
It was awesome. Yeah, it was awesome. New Jersey is pretty sweet.
Let's go over this again. We've already gone through this. I've already apologized. You're still bitter about it. You're a woman. I don't care.
So...
And that's it. Go ahead. Somebody else have a better week than
you. All right, well, let me brighten things up for these fucking...
Yeah, people have already heard what was going on with me for an hour last week. I don't even need to do anything.
Death over here. It's a lot of...
Oh, mine survived.
Well,
yeah,
mine's
super dead.
Yeah.
I had to watch it die. I was holding its fucking
it's
paw.
It's so bad.
While
it's so hard to do that. God, yeah. It sucks. God.
Yeah. God. While they injected it, I'm like holding the cat's hand.
We already planned his burial spot. Like, we both had the same thought. Like, oh, we're right over here in this area because he likes rubbing all those rocks. And, like, we came to that. Like, she brought him, like, oh, I know where I want to bury him. I'm like, yeah, right over here, huh? She was like, yeah, oh my God. Like, oh, Jesus Christ.
She's laughing?
No, she's crying.
Okay. She's a weird cry.
Okay, it's gonna get a so my week's been pretty good. I literally have nothing to talk about. I got in trouble. Speaking about getting in trouble at work, I work at a drug and alcohol rehab place, and some of the guys who go up there, sometimes it's like they're get out of jail free card, you know, from actually going to jail or going to rehab. Some of the guys, like, they're just going up there to please their family. And then some guys actually want to stop, like, doing drugs. So, there's a couple of guys up there.
What do you think the ratio is?
Like
10% actually want to get clean?
No, like, on any given, you know, month, let's say we have 20 guys up there, and, let's say, like, maybe half of them are actually, like, you can tell they're, like...
Trying.
Trying, you know?
Is that, like, the ones that, like, are, like, crying the most and are, like, most upset with their lives?
Yeah.
And the other ones are just, like, literally looking at the ceiling, like, just...
I will suck your dick for some coke right now.
So, there's some new guys up there, and they were... You know, all kind of like, this place sucks. Yeah, fuck this place. And, like, the place is fucking great compared to, like, the VOA or, like, fucking some shitty place downtown where you sleep on a cot, you know?
I remember that first week you're like, we want to play paintball today. I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
Your first day you go for a buffet at the casino?
Yeah. We ate at the casino and then went to go play paintball. I was like, I can get used to this. Never did it again. Actually, they went recently and it was on my day off. I was like, damn it. So,
well, they worked today.
So anyways, one of the guys was, let's say, non-white. And there was
this is why you got in trouble.
And there was I didn't really get in trouble. I got like everybody got talked to. So it was the owner of the place was using broad strokes, you know. So anyways, there was a couple guys and they were trying to find excuses to leave and like pretty much they want to go fucking get high, so they're like trying to justify why they can go. So they were like bringing up all this like insurance bullshit and yada yada, and then they were like, one of the guys was like, "Oh yeah, and there's been like some racial comments, blah blah blah." And I'm like, "Okay, like I don't know, maybe one of these guys, you know, there's
was it a non-white one who's saying the racial comments?"
Yeah, of course. But it was like, you know, a lot of these guys don't have very healthy backgrounds. You know, they're like come from like. Biker clubs and fucking just gangs and shit. So it's like, well, that kind of checks out, you know? And then, so anyways, then the owner of the fucking company pulls me aside when he's pulling a bunch of the, you know, the residents aside. He pulls me aside. He's like, "Have you dropped the N-bomb?" And I'm like, in a moment of panic, I'm just like, what? And in my head, I'm like, yeah, I probably have. And then I'm like,
you're like not to be like offensive, in the sake of comedy.
Yeah, yeah. And so I was like, of course. I was like, no, of course not. And he's like, well, if you ever drop the N-bomb when you're employed with me, you're going to be fired. I'm like, okay. And then I was thinking back. A couple weeks back, I quoted Dave Chappelle, his stand-up, when he was talking about, I forget why I brought it up, but it was... He was making fun of Bill Clinton, you know, how he's, like, going around shaking people's hands and kissing babies. And he's talking about, like, he even, like, went and picked up and kissed the black baby. He's like, come here, little nigga baby. Whoa, you know? And I, like,
that good voice. That, good voice.
Yeah, thank you. It flashed in my head, and I was like, oh, no. But I was like, I'm quoting Dave Chappelle. Like, I have the program director at this place is black. And he's said shit like Cat Williams, like, this shit right here, nigga, this shit right here. And he's like a professional, like, in a suit, black man. And, like, I was the only one in the room when he was saying it. And I was like, are you supposed to be saying that? Is it okay for me to laugh right now, you know? So it's like, you know, we all have a sense of humor. We all joke around. But, yeah, I definitely, like, kind of scared the shit out of me where I was like, just because I look like this does not mean I am a racist. It means I have a receding hairline and I grew up in Southern California. Anyways.
East Southern California.
Yes. So, anyways, other than that, I haven't been playing too many games. I haven't been playing fucking any games. I downloaded...
Shame.
Oracle of Ages or Seasons.
I have
or
no idea what
those
that is.
Those two Zelda games that were like released back to back for the Game Boy. So I started to play one of those. And I guess like it doesn't matter which one you start with. And they both kind of like intertwine somehow.
So it's like Pokemon like X and Y, Red and Blue. It's like the same map but not.
I'm not 100% sure about that.
Okay.
But I do know that I picked up. I have a subscription to Game Informer. Picked up the last issue, and I saw, oh, there's, you know, it gives, like, the little index or whatever, and it said something about Zelda, and I was like, okay, I flipped to that page. It was a review talking about Zelda 2, the worst Zelda ever, but it was not... calling it the worst Zelda ever. It was praising it for its uniqueness and how much they were willing to stray from the original and all the things they tried. And it was like two whole pages. And I was like so upset that they gave two whole pages to this fucking shit game that makes me so angry just thinking about it
now. The levels are spiking. The levels
are spiking. Yeah, we are going into the red. Because...
I need to see some video of this gameplay, because I never played that one, so...
I never played it either.
It's...
I don't believe so.
It's... Okay, so all Zelda games are like bird's eye view, isometric, whatever.
Yeah.
This, or, you know, 3D in the later stages. This had, like, the overworld map was, like, the early Final Fantasies, where you just kind of, like, moving around a big map. And then when it, like, when you went into town, it was fucking side-scrolling. No.
What?
No, that is not acceptable.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Horrible. Horrible game. And, like, I don't know, man. There was, like, this meme I downloaded a long time ago, but, and all it said was, like, Zelda 2. No, Link, you fucking shithead. I didn't tell you to jump in the lava or, like, something like that. And it's like, yeah, there's just parts in the game that are so fucking difficult to pass. And I've tried to play it so many times throughout my life because I'm like, it's a Zelda game. Come on, I gotta give it some love. No. Horrible. Zelda 2.
Awful.
Venture of the...
When I think of bad side-scrolling games, I think of Friday the 13th. Did you ever play that?
I did not.
On the NES?
No.
Dude, it is so bad. It goes down in like the books, you know what I mean, as far as like worst games ever. This is one of those games. And I remember I had it, like my mom or whoever bought it for me, and I just played it a bunch. Because when you're a kid, you just play things into the fucking ground. You know, you just play the same, even if it was like Ninja Turtles. But that game is so hard that you can only get to like level 5. Yeah. Like basically I can get to the part where like they have the electric seaweed and then I would just die there.
You know what? That's level 2.
Is it?
That's
yeah,
level
basically
two.
That. You get there and then you just die a bunch of times.
Damn, he's bad at that game.
No, it's like Battletoads when you fucking
Battletoads is different.
The hover bikes? fuck that level. I can't pass that level.
Was that on Super Nintendo?
No, that was regular Nintendo. Was it?
Okay. Yeah. I didn't play that one. I probably played like the next one.
You know what I'm talking about? The Hoverbikes?
Yeah. Battletoads 2 had the same thing. It was on Sega. And it was like level 5 or 6. It has the same kind of spot where you literally, you can't beat it.
Well,
I know
the hoverboard
thing. I played that game 1,000 times. Never got past that level.
Yeah, I know the never once. I remember better graphics than NES for the hoverboard part. So I guess I didn't play the NES version.
Well, I think they had like a Battletoads / Double Dragon that came out for the Super Nintendo. So I think it was like a remake.
Yeah, something like that then maybe. I didn't have a Super Nintendo. But either way, I remember just a newer version of that. But yeah, that Friday the 13th was like an abomination. It was the inventory system sucked. The graphics sucked. It was all side-scrolling. And there was like no direction, like, you know, that didn't really have like a map.
Yeah.
So you just like walk into be the same like foresty background behind you, and then you would come up on like a landmark every once in a while, but still not know where you were. But you had to like find clues and then find Jason, and it was a total nightmare, like a total piece of shit.
Yeah, and like so many regular Nintendo NES games were like that. It was like a boy and his blob, and you like fed this blob, which was your pet for some reason. You fed him jelly beans. And when you fed him jelly beans, he turned into different things. And he turned into like a hole in the ground or a ladder or some sort of...
Was this NES also?
A trampoline. Yeah, this was NES also. And so, yeah, you would just like... And you didn't... I don't know. When you're a little kid, you don't fucking know. So you're just like feeding him whatever and not being strategic about it. And then you just create a hole in the ground. And then you fall into some room and you're like, well, I'm just never getting out of this room now. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not smart enough to make this work.
Another game like that? Pitfall. Not the one for like the Atari, the one where you like jump over the alligators.
The Super Nintendo?
No, there's regular Nintendo.
Okay.
And it's like you're underground and you start off at like the top of the map and you work your way to like the bottom of the map to like pick up some kind of thing, and then there's no way to like get to the next level without knowing like the hidden part. Like, it's a part that's not on screen. It's like something that you walk up to and then push up on, but it's just a normal background. So something you have to like look at a guide or something like that to find it, or like have a friend tell you. So it's one of these levels where you're just like dodging enemies the whole time, going down, you pick up some item, then you come back up, and then you go like, it's weird, like you actually, I think to get to the next level you have to go left from where you started off at, which is very weird for a game to like go left. You usually just keep going right. And it was, and especially you go up. You usually go right, and up. This one is down and right. And then you have to go double back and then go left from where you started off at. Super weird. So, and then you get to the next level, and I have no idea how to beat that one. So, like, it's the same thing. You spend like 15 minutes beating the first one, farting around this map that doesn't go anywhere. It's just bad. It's just traps nonstop. And then you get to the next level, which is like kind of like more of a Halloween, not Halloween, but more of a graveyard theme.
Right.
And then I have no idea what to do. All I know is enemies are abound and I just die.
So it's kind of like a Metroid type of thing where you gotta like go back and then go here and then...
Yes.
It's like, but this map makes no goddamn sense.
Yes, but when you shoot bullets to the size of you, it's one of those where like, here's your body, and then the bullet, when you shoot, you only get like five the whole first fucking level, and you shoot the bullet and it like flies off and it's like half the size of your body. And then because the graphics were so poor, everything like flickers in and out. Kind of like when you shoot with the gun in like Duck Hunt with a screen kind of like flickers, the enemies and the bullet would like flicker as like the frames are going across the screen, and it was like, it was a, once again, a total mess of a game.
So I think I talked about this game a long time ago, and I've been wanting to buy it for like years now. It's called 101 Spikes, and it is a game where you have 101 lives.
It's like the Impossible Game?
Kind of like the Impossible Game, where it's just like a fucking troll. Like, just levels and levels of troll shit where, like, you go, you know, you see the fireball going by, and then you time it perfectly, and then you jump. But where you jump, there's a fucking spike. And you're like, okay, well, now I know I'm not gonna jump there. And then you jump to this other place where you think it's gonna be safe, fucking boulder falls on your head.
So, like, you have to die to know where the things are.
Yeah,
like, there's no way to beat it in one playthrough, no matter how good you are, because it's meant to be...
Yeah,
where there's going to be an obstacle you can't get around.
Yeah, you have to learn as you go, and that's why. So it just gives you 1,001 lives, and you just have to try and beat the game in 1,001 lives.
Is it 1,001 or 101? You don't know.
1,001.
Okay.
1,001 spikes.
Well, you kept saying 101.
Yeah, why I'm just clarifying.
No, because it's 1,001, which makes it that much more dickheadish.
Yeah, I bet.
So
that sucks.
Jesus.
And there's 1,002 obstacles, so you have to die 1,001 times to even learn all the obstacles. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, 1,001 spikes. They have it for Game Boy and the Nintendo Market. They also have it for Steam.
It's a new game, though. New-ish, right?
New-ish. I mean, it came out...
I mean, it's retro graphics, but not retro time frame, time period, right?
Exactly. Okay. It's a very... when you mention Pitfall, it totally reminded me of that, to where... it's just like those old school 8-bit type of shit.
Yeah, this game is probably good.
Yeah. So I'm going to get that here pretty soon.
Nice.
And I think I want to try and stream me playing Zelda 2 because that just sounds
You could record it and then we can do like a rage quit video from it. We can just like chop up all the parts that you're just like cussing nonstop and dying and just have that be like a 4-minute video with like 30 little short scenes of you just being like, fucking don't go there. And that's all it would be. It'd be a great video.
I'm not sure if I own the original like cartridge, but I have emulators and ROMs on my computer, so I could easily do
just
that.
OBS record without or stream while recording or whatever.
Exactly.
Whatever variation you want. And then boom, we got it. And
yep.
Chop it up to a video.
So yeah, my week's just been, I'm sure like funny shit has happened. We tried to record last night, but we ended up playing Plane Chase Commander. One game lasted, I don't know, 17, 18 hours? something like that. So
yeah, probably more like 2.5, but that's already way too long.
Yeah, and then we were playing Frontier and Modern before that, so.
Word.
So pass it on over to Sosticles.
I've only been playing one game, and I finally got around to playing Battlefield 1, the campaign, and it is mighty short. That was short. Where I was kind of like judging when I would beat. It has like 5 separate stories, kind of like 5 different characters, 5 campaigns. And I was judging, like, all right, how long is each one going to take? I figured 2 hours each, 10 hours total, you know. And I remember I beat one of them, the first one, which was the longest one, in probably 2 hours or near that. And then the second one I beat in, like, an hour and a half, maybe. And then the one after that I beat in, like, 40 minutes. And the one after that I beat in, like, 40 minutes. I was like, whoa, this is like burning through really fast. So I haven't played the last one because I just didn't want to do it all in one day. I was only sitting down for like 5 hours and the whole game was like done. I'm like, okay, well, this is kind of absurd. It is fun though. I didn't like, so they have a tank one.
Do the airplane one yet?
Yeah. So that's the second one. So they have a tank one, first one, the airplane, second one. They had one where you are like, kind of like a juggernaut style one where you have like armor plating on you. I mean, it's like World War One style,
right?
But it makes you really tough. And so you can like, you can not have to go dive into cover a bunch, and then you have a, you know, one of those heavy machine guns that has like 200 rounds, you know, per magazine. And that was the third one. And then the fourth one was where you are like a runner, and you're basically like, because there's no way to like communicate besides like, they have like pigeons and shit like that. They didn't really have much for like even radios and whatever. You'd have to like literally get a person to go like back and forth in the war to see where people are at. And so I did that one. And then the last one is like where it's like, I think it's in the desert, right? Like Arabian.
Honestly, I've only played the airplane one campaign so far. I love that. I mean, though it is short, but that's what I was raving about the game.
The airplane one's the best one, actually. So.
Yeah, so that's unfortunate.
Yeah, airplane one's the best
one. That's the one I've played so far. But like that's what, you know, that's what had me raving about the game from the get-go is every time I've ever played any kind of game where it's like, you know, you're doing dogfights and things like that. Like it doesn't translate well enough. It's just, you know, you get dizzy, but things just, your orientation doesn't go right. Things doesn't feel right. And I feel like this game was like the best dogfighting air game.
Yeah,
I've ever played.
It had a good story.
Like, you know, yeah.
It's like a short story, so it had a good story, good character. And then the tank one had a good story, good characters, but I didn't really care for the gameplay. Like it was just, you're just in a tank. I don't know. It was just 2 hours of tank. And then when you're not in the tank, you're just running through a town to like find spare parts for the tank that like shut down, like it was engine, you know. And I don't know, it was just kind of boring, but the story was good. And then the Juggernaut one was like too short and not very good. And then the other one, the Runner one, was worse than all of them. So like it was.
It'd be cool if you could like play as the pigeon.
You do, you know? I swear to God, you do.
Oh, that's because they actually use like a lot of animals.
Yes.
To communicate, so they trained cats and they had like donkeys and like all sorts of fucking shit. And it's just like funny to think about now.
Yeah,
it's like, oh man, they're about to fucking bomb. Go, pigeon, go!
Yeah, you know? So sorry that I'm giving this away, but yeah, there was a
there was a, I guess, yeah, it's like, I guess it's a pigeon, and it was like one of the most important animals
okay,
in
so
the war.
I was going to say, is this pigeon in the game?
Yeah.
Okay.
So like, this is the pigeon. If anyone knows about like the World War One or whatever, there's this one, I don't remember its name, but it went down because it like was a big turning point for like this battle they had in one day where like it was sent out at the right time, it got like shot and all kinds of shit in the air, but
it had its leg blown off,
yeah,
and a hole in its wing,
but it still got the message out, you know? That didn't happen. You didn't, it was just, you just flew it. It didn't do anything.
Did it get like the purple medal or?
Yeah, it literally did.
Yeah, it did.
Purple heart. It got purple heart. It literally, because it literally saved.
And it died within like a day of
coming. Yeah, the pigeon made it back to him, made his post and gave the message to him, but it literally saved like 10,000 soldiers' lives because it fucking made this run and survived its flight back to get the message.
Yeah.
So, exactly. So like, it was a fucking big deal.
There's a name.
Like,
I just don't know what the name's name
running
is.
Theme in this podcast. Dead animals. Tragic.
One more noble than the rest. That was pretty cool, you know. I like when they do shit like that. I like when a game, it's an action game, right? You know, of course. And so you're expecting to blow a bunch of shit up, shoot a bunch of baddies, all that stuff. But then when they like break it down, they slow it down, and they have something like that. One of my favorite moments of any game I've ever played was the halfway point of Red Dead Redemption. And the halfway point of that game, without giving anything away, you like are moving from one section of the map to a new section of the map. And so you hop on your horse and you ride for like 5 minutes. Like, there's nothing you can do except for ride. And while you're riding on that trail, they play a song. Like, they just play an entire, let's just call it a Johnny Cash song from start to finish. And it goes through with like the sun setting and all this stuff. And like I said, there's no enemies or nothing. It's just you, the horse, the song, riding along for 5 minutes,
is,
no matter
what. Is
it
House of the Rising Sun?
I don't know. It could be. I mean, it's a great song, but I don't think it's a short song, though. It's only like 2 minute song.
I don't fucking
anyways, know. So they do that, and it was like a really, really awesome part to break up from just the nonsense of shooting everybody and talking to NPCs and shit like that. It was really beautiful. And so when games do that, that was cool. The pigeon was one of those moments of like, ah, this is nice, you know, nice clarity, nice break from just the madness of war and all that shit.
Are you guys still playing Titanfall 2?
I haven't played it yet.
I let a friend borrow it.
Okay,
but
so
yeah, I mean, I love Titanfall, yeah.
Okay, because I was like contemplating, like, fuck, dude,
it's
I want to get a new game, and well, I went to go like see how much it was to download on the Xbox Store, still like $60, and I was like, no, thank you. But like, yeah, the hard copies at like Target, totally down.
Yeah, they're like $15 at this point or something. They're like nothing.
Seriously?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, we had that discussion
in
before.
A month in 30
yeah,
days.
Yeah, yeah,
they were under $30.
People don't want to give it a chance again, so they're
they're both by EA. And I think because they had Battlefield 1 and Titanfall 2 come out in the same week or 2 weeks, whatever. And they thought that they announced like, oh, these are for two different kinds of people. And it's like, no, we're just looking for the same kind. It's the same kind of game. I know it's like one's mechs and whatever else, but really, like, it's not, we're not comparing like an RTS on the PC to an action game on a con. Like, this is, it's the same genre of game. And so one, obviously Battlefield's going to win in that instance. And so it did by a long shot. I think Titanfall 2 still did like reasonable numbers, like money back type numbers, but not profit to make a third one. I don't think that's what's going to happen.
Right.
So.
Yeah, because I was just like, I don't know, I'm just bored with all my games. Nothing's like standing out to me. I was like, I hadn't turned my Xbox One on in a long time. So I turned it on and then like, I wanted to play something, but it needed an update. So I was like, okay, I'll play something else. Oh, I needed an update. So I was just like, fuck it. All right, I'm just going to update all this shit. And it was like multiple gigs. And then so I ended up not playing anything, but I was like looking through the store like, fuck, what do I even want to play? And I was like, ooh, Titanfall 2.
I mentioned Titanfall 2, the campaign is outstanding. Do you play that the campaign yet?
I haven't played the game yet.
Okay. Campaign's outstanding. Like, absolutely. It is the best campaign, you know, of the year,
I got it
for
Christmas.
Guess,
I definitely want to play it. I just haven't gotten to it yet.
Yeah. It's short. I think it's probably like 7 hours, but it was really, really fun. I've already mentioned another cast, but
yeah,
I really, really
the one
it.
Asshole guy everybody gets pissed at.
Yeah, Viper. Fuck that guy. but yeah, and then the multiplayer, yeah. I haven't really played much of it at all, but I know what it is, and I just haven't. I just been playing other shit in the meantime. So I've been playing a little bit of Battleborn as well.
you can already buy that in like
Battleborn? Isn't that like
actually.
The.
That's like $5. That's like no money, dude. It's like literally, Best Buy has it for like. I think like $5.99.
Isn't this
like,
that the stepchild to fucking Overwatch?
Oh, it's like
or
a wicked stepchild. Yeah, it's still fun. Like for me, being a big Borderlands fan, it is Borderlands, but a different, you know, iteration of it. It feels really similar, and like tons and tons of characters, just like Overwatch, but it does not have nearly the polish, of course.
Got it.
But Borderlands didn't have the polish either. Borderlands was like kind of a poor frame rate. You know, the graphics were not really next generation, even though it was like the cell shaded, whatever the hell it's called, you know, it's not supposed to be as beautiful, but it was still lacking. But it made up for it, for me at least, in like the variety and the humor. And it had a lot of character to it. And this game has a lot of character to it. I would never pay $60 for this game, but it does have a campaign, and it does have a lot of multiplayer replayability. So, yeah. So
I was watching some...
It has a cool art style, too, like the intro. It'd be worth, like, pulling up the YouTube video of it, just, like, watching the intro. It's very anime.
Right.
It's got, like, pretty... Like, a sick, you know, like... I'm trying to think of, like, an artist... You know, it's not quite like...
It has a very
like,
unique art style.
But it has... I'm trying to think of the song in the background was... It wasn't like Mos Def, but it was something like that. And it was playing the whole song through while an action sequence went on. And it was all anime style.
Yeah.
Because it was like hand-drawn cartoon was the intro credits. And then the game is, of course, not hand-drawn. But anyways, it was cool. It was a really cool intro. So it's worth like you being an anime fan.
Yeah.
You'd probably be really into it, you know, in the song and shit like that.
I was watching some Twitch streams and I was... You know, I was just like, whatever game I had no idea about, I was like, oh, I'll just watch it and see if it's cool. And I end up watching a stream of a game called For Honor. And game...
I've been looking at that game.
So I'm not into the whole, like, hack and slash, but just the way the game was made with the isometric view and, like, the combat system looked fucking awesome. And if you were to throw just, like, some magical attacks in there, I would get it for sure.
Did you ever play Transistor?
No.
Or Bastion?
Yeah, I played Bastion.
Bastion was dope, right? Or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it was good. It wasn't like the best.
Okay. But that's what I feel like isometric beat 'em up hack and slash kind of things, but it has like a sense of style to it.
I'm talking about Skyrim. Like I'm not a fan of Skyrim. I tried it. It was like $15. Tried it. Just not a fan.
You're in the vast minority of that opinion.
But that's not isometric though. It's behind the shoulder.
I'm just hack and slash in general. Like okay. I'm just not a fan.
I have a different opinion of hack and slash.
You just said yeah. For Honor, if they threw in some magic attacks, Skyrim has you can do all magic in that game. You don't have to swing one weapon if you don't want to.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't like it.
I liked it, but it didn't grab me.
Yeah, it didn't grab me. Like I didn't hate it, but it was just I feel like I wasn't given enough direction in the game, so I didn't know like what the fuck to do. So anyways.
I don't like crafting. That's one of my big
pet
peeves. No.
Okay.
I like basic crafting. When I think of like crafting that I actually like, yeah, this is totally fine. Like Resident Evil. You only have like 5 items and you just kind of make what you need at the point. But I don't like the inventory system that goes 200 items deep and you have to like really know your shit to get everything right. I get daunting. Yeah, that's good. I'm glad people do. That sells that game, you know, is having a system like that. But, like, as far as I would go would be, like, Fallout. Fallout's, like, the farthest I can ever go into a crafting system.
So the whole
it's
reason,
already a lot.
The whole reason I liked the For Honor is because it looked like kind of like World of Warcraft, almost. To where it wasn't, like, isometric, but it was, like, almost like, not even, like, third person. Like, almost like fourth person, kind of, you know.
Fifth
it was
person,
like,
maybe even.
Yeah.
Five and a half people
yeah,
back.
Yeah, 5.5 people back. And just the way it looked, I was like, fuck, this is really fucking cool. But then I kept watching.
Is it like medieval times or like what is it? I don't know what it is.
It's like a combination of that where it's not necessarily medieval times.
It's like samurai type of shit.
Yeah, there's samurais, there's knights, there's, you know, so it's all, it's like throughout history, like, you know, combat fighters type of things, situation going on there. So you can like, you know, go, it's not just like one era of time necessarily. But from what I've seen of it, it's not just like a, like what's that dynasty game where you're just literally hacking and slashing, you know, tons of fucking people.
Double Dragon.
Like this game is like it's like multiplayer galore where you're trying to kill other people. It's not just like completely just straight hack and slashing. It's a strategic. It's like playing a first person shooter but with swords.
It does sound. It doesn't sound like World of Warcraft, but it probably has some elements from it.
Well, I mean, just like the visual representation, there wasn't like a bunch of buttons on the bottom bar or anything.
Right.
Obviously, it's a console
game.
It's
more simplified than that, right?
Yeah, yeah, but just the just kind of the fighting style reminded me of it.
Did you ever play Diablo? Diablo 3? Diablo 2?
I never got the expansion for it.
Okay. It's the same game. It was not... Reaper of Souls was, like, fine, but it wasn't worth $40. It was just, I think it was like two acts, and I think the normal game was five, so it was added on maybe like another 6 hours of gameplay, and it was the same. I don't know. I would rather just go ahead and start a new character and replay the original game a bunch of times rather than like, I don't know. That game, I don't, nothing about the story does it for me, like at all. I could care less about like what world it is or what named people are or any of that shit. All I wanted to do is make sure the skill tree is, you know, pretty tight and the graphics look decent enough. And yeah, that's it. I mean, I just want to beat shit up. I don't really care what it even looks like. So, you okay? You gonna die?
I thought I was gonna sneeze.
Oh.
And we
thought you read something that you were really you were so pissed about.
Yeah.
No. And then we
His cat died too. Yeah. Everyone's cat died. She got a cat on the way home and died.
But we've already harped on it before. But like the talent tree in Diablo 3 is just, it's the dumbed down. It's the same shit they did with World of Warcraft to where they dumbed it down. But the talent tree in Diablo 2, that was very expansive.
I can imagine that the talent tree is much worse, but I still did enjoy all the abilities. Like, oh, I think it still felt neat. If you wanted to be like a ranged attacker, tank style, you know, I was like the monk, and that was one where whatever damage you would deal, you would gain that much health.
Right.
So it'd be like this endless barrage of just like, You'd suck everybody into you, then you'd like area affect them, and then you would gain the life whatever damage they made, and it was like this. It was cool.
Well, that's the whole thing. Is like you in that one, if you picked a class, you just were kind of stuck with that class. In Diablo 2, when you picked a class, there was three distinct builds you could make to where one was drastically different from the other, like. I had talked about, I did the like necromancer or whatever, and so I could like raise dead and have a whole bunch of minions, and so I put all my points into that, and it was fucking awesome. But then when you get to like the last boss, he just like does one AoE, and then like all my minions are dead, and then I'm just like a stupid clothy with no fucking points in anything.
What the hell's a clothy?
Like, I don't have very good armor.
Clothy. Like,
yeah,
clothy. Never heard of it, man. Just not in the
clothy,
world.
Clothy, man.
I'm not a World of Warcraft guy, but I got he was going with it.
Didn't know.
So anyways, yeah. And then there's, you know, different
it's like
builds.
It's like a clean lippy, right?
Yeah, clean lippy. Anyways. So how's your week?
How's that? I'm not doing anything. I mean, that's the only thing I can say is that after this cast is over, I'm going to go get another cat. So we went to We went looking around. The cat passed last week, maybe like 7 or 8 days ago at this time. And so we were looking. We want to get another cat. Like, we miss it. But the cat that we had made it to like 14, 15 years old, something like that. And it was, you know, had a lot of problems. But anyway, it served us well. I really, really like that cat. But we are looking, you know, when we go upstairs and we're in the room, it's like sad. You know what I mean? It's still sad. We're just like, damn it, you know? Because that
can't
cat we
even
just,
fucking here anymore. Coming here and just have to cry.
Well, we can't. We don't fuck anyways. But yeah,
those days are long gone. Long gone. Man. Come on.
You're not married yet. You gotta have sex still sometimes.
Nah, maybe.
You get that little like spike when you propose because it's like they're like super happy and then you're like, all right, cool. I know that. I know that.
Then you actually treated you last night.
Not last night. We were looking around at like different shelters and stuff like that, and shelters like they really just don't have that much. Like they don't have that many animals, and when we find one they would like, they're like, "Oh, this one's not good with dogs," or "This one has to be the only animal in the house." And we're like, "What the fuck?" Like it was hard to find. So we went.
Are you guys gonna get like a full grown cat or a kitten?
No, full grown cat. Yeah, for
you
sure.
You don't want to deal with a kitten?
No, absolutely not.
Did you check out the Humane Society?
Kittens are awesome though, bud.
I don't know. I mean, no. We went to, like, shelters. Well, let's say this. We went to, like...
The shelters are, like, shit, though.
We went to, like, three shelters.
Pit bulls and then, like, three scraggly cats.
Well, we found nice cats, but they were all, like... They were too good for us, basically. Like, they were just like, no, they're not... Like I said, they're not good with their animals or whatever else.
They're just saw what car you drove up in. Yeah. You can't afford this cat.
Exactly. One of them we went to, it was in Coronado. And the place in Coronado was, like... really fancy for like a shelter, super fancy, where we went down there, saw a cat that we liked online, we went down there, whatever, met it, everything was cool, really nice animal, whatever. Then we went out to lunch, and when we're at lunch, we see two like older ladies in their 60s or whatever are like walking the cats in strollers, like fully enclosed strollers with like a little sign on there saying like adopt me on it or whatever. So the cats are like getting out and like they're time on the beach. as fucking adult, you know, like, yeah. I'm like, this is crazy. But they, anyways, like I said, they didn't approve us basically because we have a dog and the cat didn't really get along with the animals. They didn't know. They were like, well, we're going to test it out with a dog. We're going to bring a dog in and test it. And then, yeah. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Well, fucking combining cats and dogs is like a week-long process, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We were kind of like fed up with it. They wanted to basically full-blown background check and get our blood drawn and all this shit just to get the cat. We're like, fine. Like, when they do dogs, they have a home inspection. They actually come to your house and look at your house before they give you a dog. Jesus, so we were like, okay, whatever. This is stupid. So we you know, obviously they said no. And we're like, that's fine. We're not even dealing with you guys anymore. So we went to two other places. Then we went to a third place. And when we got there, I walked in first. And I saw, like, some lady at the front, whatever. I'm like, hey, what's up? She's like, oh, hey. And then my chick walks in behind me. And then she's like, Kelly. And then so-and-so is like, oh, Sarah, or whoever her name is. And it was a coworker that she used to work with at my chick's vet place that she works at now.
That'd be a lot better if they were, like, ex-lovers.
Oh, my God, you know? The best. Maybe they still are. I don't know. So there was that, and I was like, oh, sick, that's perfect. So we found this place that has nothing but cats. It's like a fucking... It's, like, the best cat place ever. They have just, like, weird, like, small shed-style, like, homes in, like, the back of this lot, and they just have, like, cats in all of them. There's just a shit ton of cats... All with like,
it's like a cat farm.
Yeah, it's like a cat farm, dude. It's like tons of shit to play with. You got to milk tons them. Of extra people. It was awesome. Yes, that one for the nipples.
You got little saddles on their back.
Yeah. So there are like the mice riding them. So there's that, and so we found this place, and then they had like 30 cats there, and we picked out kind of like top four, but we left because it was getting kind of late in the day, and so we're like, all right, we'll sit on it. And then we're going to come back today in a couple hours on Saturday, and then we're going to go in there and pick out our cat, basically. And it might come down to where we get two, but we're going to get one today, but my girlfriend wants to get two really bad, and I'm like, I don't really want to, but I'm not going to, like, fight her all day long about it, so yeah. I'll probably just get one, and then we'll
No,
get
you're the probably cat. Just going
to
get two.
We're not going to get two. We can't do it right away, because we have to deal with the stress of having one.
Yeah, sure. Okay,
sure.
Yeah.
I'll bet anything. What do you want to bet?
No,
if you guys are so sure, I mean, screw it.
Well, I'm just saying. Anyway, if the girl wants to, she's probably getting two.
Text her right now.
Yeah, please.
Better so get two cats.
You get the one.
He needs a friend, honey. Well, he's going to be lonely.
It's exactly that. But you have to get the one comfortable, and then you bring the second one in. Like, I can't, like, deal with two asshole cats that are not getting along with the animals in the house and whatever. That'd be, like, madness. It would just be a pain. So I'd rather just get one at a time. And
we'll
maybe
see.
In a week or something like that.
We'll see.
See, we will see. And then, yeah, that's it. So that's the rest of the day. Stop getting me all heated.
Triggered.
Well,
don't use bad internet terminology. It's so stupid. Those words need to go away. Like, those terms need to just go away.
So let's move on to some magic. What we have lined up for you guys is just amazing.
I'm going to grab some water.
And, oh, hey, I totally forgot. I forgot to mention this. I just went past the picture in the text messaging. So I cleaned out the ilk studio, AKA the garage.
Yes.
So it's a lot more roomy, a lot more clean.
I kind of officially have a man cave now, so it's a little better for us.
Yeah, I have a TV. I have a whole big dresser that's just for my magic.
You have a
shit.
Star Wars First Order clock?
Yes, I just put that up last night after you guys left.
I didn't remember being there yesterday.
Yeah, First Order clock up there. TV, all that jazz.
There you go, bud. Now you're learning. Now you're getting it.
So I had like cleaned out the garage a couple times, you know, did a couple sweeps, you know. But there was this floor TV. This old floor TV.
had our mascot.
So I had never moved it before, and I fucking went to go like shove it in the corner because it was kind of in the way of where I wanted the actual TV to go. And there's like a bunch of shit underneath it, like a bunch of like old pine needles and like grandpa's old pine tar soap, just a bunch of shit. And I'm like, what the fuck is all this shit? And it looked like a little nest. And I fucking like lift it up and get all the shit out. And there's this freaky fucking head like looking back at me, just a head. And I was like, is that like a from an animal? Like what the fuck? And I look and like has like the scary like
as a head. You mean skull?
Skull. Yes.
That'd be much more freaky than just a severed head under your TV.
Yeah. Just full flesh still on it. So it has like the sunken eyes and like the snout and everything. I was just like, is that, what the fuck? And I kind of like flipped it over and it has like this big gnarly like row of teeth, you know, still on there. And I was like, is that Charging Badger? Like, that looks like Charging Badger. Did Charging Badger like die in this house and that's why it's our mascot? Because it's like haunting.
It knew. It knew.
Yeah, it knew this whole time.
That's how it got in our heads.
So I was like, okay, that's creepy. I don't know why it is just creepy. I didn't expect it there. So to find it like a...
You should have like mounted on the wall.
It was like a good sized head too, you know? It was like bigger than a cat, you know? Sorry.
Hey, mine's still alive.
Jeez. Did not...
I mean, it didn't get stung by a bee or anything.
So, yeah, and then I looked through the rest, and I think it was a possum. Because there's like that weird tail and everything.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I thought that was. I was gonna keep the skull and like make an ashtray out of it.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, it's creepy. Yeah, like, I don't wanna.
You know, you'll boil it to make sure it's actually clean.
Yeah. So I just fucking tossed it. So yeah, there.
Like ruin a pan, or a bowl, or fucking whatever pot.
So what? Fuck, dude. Somewhere in here. We made proper show notes, if you guys can tell.
What about Almond Cat? Shit like that?
Oh, yeah. So we have new packaging. One from Almond Cat, which is the next standard block to come, or the next set to come out. And we all...
Jesus.
Oh, whew. And then there's the Badger Ghost. Got me. We also got Modern Masters 2017 art to look at. So let's start, which is really exciting. Let's start with the Modern Masters shit. You guys obviously have had a chance to look at it, correct?
Yeah, it was so there's three arts in the new packaging on the actual, you know, single booster packs, and that is Domri Raid and
Gristlebrand and Stoic Angel. And then, so those are on the packs.
I don't know Stoic Angel. What does that card do?
It's not very good. It's like a 3/4 for 3 or something like that, or maybe even 4, and it has like vigilance and like some tap ability. I don't know. It's like not.
I thought it was like one of those weird, like you can't lose the game sort of shit. I don't know. We don't really care. But so those are on the pack art. And then on the like actual Modern Masters like booster box, it has this kind of Asian looking character, and we can only assume
to me that's Snapcaster, right?
We can only assume it's Snapcaster because what was up with that like shitty soccer,
the black soccer player
fucking,
the Brazilian man?
Yeah, that was weird.
That was such hot garbage, we have like extra art. God. Let's just
was
fucking...
that like game day
no that was like that GP. Was pro that was pro tour promo.
Okay,
anyways, that was just horrible. So I'm really hoping this is snappy on the
I'm
art.
Sure it is. So Stoic Angel, just so you know, is it's a 3/4 flyer for 1 and Bant. It's 4 mana. Flying Vigilance. Players can't untap more than one creature during their untap steps.
Gotcha.
So it's like nothing special. It's not even legendary.
Yeah.
For like, you know, some maybe commanderish type shenanigans.
So I had
why are we getting Domri Raid in this? Like,
well, because the real answer is because it's from Gatecrash.
Yeah.
And that's because that's what it's from. It's supposed to be Return to Ravnica. Block is like the main thing they're going for here.
Innistrad and Return
to Ravnica, like the two that they're like pinpointing in, like, you know, when they announced it, like these are the two things we're going to be targeting the most or whatever.
So
that's why. But that's pretty bad.
God, who cares?
I think it's like $5 or $6, but $5 or $6. That's not
other
not
than
play.
Fucking Reich. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. So after a little research, just the first two Modern Masters sets, obviously there was 6 pack arts between the two of them, and there was 4 Planeswalkers between the two of them, and only one Planeswalker was on the art. It was Karn. So out of the 4 Planeswalkers, just one ended up on one of the 6 arts.
Yeah.
So the reason I bring this up is because we're like, where the fuck is Liliana? And why is this stupid Domri Raid on there? So
I'm not surprised at all that Liliana's not on the art packaging there. Feels like if she's going to be in this set, which we all hope she is, that's going to be like a big reveal kind of thing. Like, that's going to be like a dun-dun-dun, not like, a, oh, here's the package art. Like, oh, she's obviously in the pack.
Yeah. Right. I don't know. That's just all three of those are like, or all, you know, we can only assume that's Snapcaster, but not 100% sure. But all three of those are just like, eh, whatever. Doesn't really get the
Gristle
tinkling.
Brand, I'm like, I don't want to pull one of those, you know.
Yeah.
I want to own Walton, except for he's not legal in anything we play.
Yeah. Well, he's legal in Modern,
yeah,
but,
I know,
like,
but
who's going to play that shit deck?
No, exactly.
Who's going to be asshole?
We're not
know?
Playing that deck. So
it's not shit. It's so good that we're not going to fucking play it. It's just some stupid non-interactive nonsense.
Do the breach shit and all that kind of shit. So, yeah.
Goryeo's Vengeance.
I mean, so, yeah, I agree. It's not that exciting. Kind of
so,
on there.
My opinions about this set is that it has those three arts, so we're hoping that there's going to be, you know, Liliana, Damnation, stuff like that. I think that there's going to be a lot of cards in this set that they couldn't make the cover art because it's not like Chalice of the Void's art is going to do anything to sell packs while being on that. So, like, there could still be some really awesome stuff. And this, I mean, really, it could be anything, of course, even a boat. But it could be, you know, we're hoping that it could be fucking, you know, awesome commons, awesome uncommons, awesome everything that isn't. If they don't do Liliana and they don't do Damnation, they better do, like, everything else. They better do, like, Kitchen Finks and Chalice of the Void and fucking Mishra's Bauble and all this stuff that, like, we've been wanting to. Even, like, Taxian Probe, I know it's banned now, but that should have been printed in this if it wasn't banned, you know?
Or, like, Cavern of Souls.
Cavern of Souls. Yeah, all this shit that, like, is still reaching high price tags for it. Like, if it's a rare, that's $50 or $40. That's too much. If it's a common, that's like $5. That's too much. If it's an uncommon, that's like $10.
Like,
that's too much.
Voice of Resurgence needs a fucking reprint.
That one will get a reprint.
Yeah, that better be in there. If that's the block, it better be
in
there.
And it'll tank the price of that card pretty bad because it's not getting played enough as it is. It's just getting... Because Dragon's Maze didn't get opened. So, like,
it's just that it's the... Well, not that it didn't get open. It's just... There's no value in that fucking set, so it has to go somewhere, and that's
call.
Just, whoa, yeah, whoa, watch out.
That thing's almost the value of a pack, thank you very much.
$350.
Not even. It's like two.
So, yeah, I mean, we can only speculate what's going to be in there, but when does it even coming out? It's like coming out soon, and we haven't got shit from it.
March 17th, I think.
So that's like less than a month.
Yeah, way less than a month. I think it might even be less than that, but I think it's March 17th, somewhere around there.
I don't know why. Why do you guys think
St. Patty's Day?
What's that?
St. Patty's Day.
I didn't know that date, but I didn't even know St. Patty's Day is in March.
So
that's awkward.
I think that's my dog wagging its
probably.
Tail. Anyways, fuck, I thought it was
the badger.
Haunting us.
Close one. So why do you guys think there's, like, they used to do spoilers, like, so far out. Why do you guys think they're reducing the time? Because they did the same thing with the last set also.
Didn't they start doing the spoilers, like, so much farther out when things started getting, like, we had that section there where every set was getting, like, illegally spoiled by other people. And so I feel like they were trying to, like, extend the spoilers out before that so they could get the spoilers out on their own instead of, like, the garbage, trash, fucking people who were putting them out there early.
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
But now it feels like that hasn't happened in a while. Like, they, like, put a kibosh to that. They figured out how to make that stop happening. So now they're bringing it back in for when they do these spoilers.
Yeah, maybe.
That's the only thing I can think of personally.
I don't know either. I know that, like, they should have a standard time frame, and it should be, in my opinion, which is I think what they're doing more or less, is that if it's a big set, they should do it 2 weeks of spoilers, right, which they normally do, and have it be where if the set comes out in, you know, week, let's say, like, at the end of week three, then weeks one and two, they're doing all the set stuff. So you have, when the whole set is spoiled, you have, like, a good week before the set comes out, and then that's how it should be. That's how they do, like, standard. I think if it was Modern Masters, they could probably do that. They could probably stretch out the same thing. They do 2 weeks of spoilers, so 10 days of spoilers. And the end of the 10th day, they have everything released, and then they have another... You have a week until that Friday that it actually gets, you know, able to buy.
The pre-release.
So. Yeah. So that would be... And then usually they do the pre-release the day... Wait. Do they do the pre-release the day, the week after spoilers are done? Or the same weekend the spoilers are done?
Week after.
Week after then, yeah. So,
I think it's like a month before spoilers is what you're saying.
I think spoilers should be done, and then they should come out a week later. And I think that spoilers should take... A week for a small set and 2 weeks for a big set, and that's it. It shouldn't be any weird variation. The only thing that would be, like, a cool variation is that when they announce the set, maybe, even, like, 6 months in advance, just announce, like, one awesome card. Like, kind of what they did that,
with
like...
Eternal Masters.
They did that with Eternal Masters, yeah. They just, they did Force of Will.
They did that with fucking M15 also, remember? They did, like, spoilers, just a couple, like, way out, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, and then there's, like, the rest of the
I'm
set.
I'm down with that. Just, like, get, like, a little bit, get me a little bit excited, because no one's even thinking of this set, hardly.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing, especially now that there's not any good art on the packs, like, give us something. Give us a cool card that's a nice chase, rare, mythic that's like 50, 60 bucks. Just to know that this set has something in it. Because right now, nobody knows anything. I pre-ordered a box because I just know I'm going to open a box anyways. I just know me and I want to open one box. And I know that a set like Eternal Masters or Modern Masters will have enough on uncommons and commons that I want to have in my collection that it's worth me picking up. Like Standard... I do buy usually a box of Standard also, but that's a little harder to do because there's just not a big reason to have a copy of every common and uncommon. Like, it's not as important. But I feel like, you know, if they have Kitchens, if they come up with Kitchen Phoenix and some other stuff like that, it'd be nice to buy a box so I actually have some of that shit, you know? Right now I have zero of most of those staples, right. So. Like, I have, like, you know, one Spell Pierce, and I have, like, two Remands, and you know, I don't have that much stuff. I'd like to have a box so I'd have more options.
Right.
So I really hope that this if they don't have big money rares and mythics, I hope that they just go all out with the uncommons and common slot and make sure that everything is taken care of. Like Lava Spike? Is that one of them? It's like $3 or whatever for a common.
Goblin Guide.
Uncommon? Rare. It's a rare, okay.
So I forget what art I saw online, but somebody like posted some art. I don't know if it was new art, and it kind of looked like goblin-y, so I'm not sure if that was like something they had like already been printed and somebody was an idiot, and yeah. I'm idiot enough to like not know where it was from. So there's kind of like the hopes of that will be in the set, because that needs a fucking reprint like nobody's business.
So here's the thing, too, is that... on the packs, there is no new art, right? So maybe if there's really, really bomb-ass cards, but they have new art, like that Snapcaster, there's that on the box.
Right.
Then maybe they didn't put them on the packs, because maybe it's just going to be new art, and they didn't want to, like, have an image that nobody recognizes as that. You know what I mean? It could be something like that, too. Maybe but every other case.
They did that with Dark Confidant. They put the new... art on the past.
Yeah, that's weird, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. I know they did the new, like, the fire and ice sword, but that's, you know what that is.
Yeah.
So, I think that could be a small reason, but I could be wrong. You just gotta hope, right? Gotta come up with any excuse for it to be in the
just
set.
Just please be good.
But, yeah.
I heard something about the print run, too, is that it's gonna be based off of... Fuck, I'm not sure exactly how all this works, so I sound like an idiot, but it's based off, like, the distributors and how much they want to order, and so how much they think, and, like, something,
from what I'm
something.
Hearing so far, the distributors don't have a cap on how much you can order yet.
Exactly, that's what I meant to say.
So, like, at that point, like, that's making it sound like it's a larger print run, because usually there's a cap on Modern Masters or Eternal Masters type things, where they can only order so much for their store. Correct. And right now, according to distributors, if we post on Twitter or this and that, like, there is no cap yet.
So that's fucking exciting. Dude, fucking print the shit in the ground. I don't give a fuck. Like, they, you know, there's a lot of talk about, like, them abandoning Modern.
That's,
you know, because they took away the Pro Tour, and then they took it away from GPs also.
Yep.
So now there's no big... tournaments.
Yeah.
And like, you know, when...
Which means less and less coverage, less and less talking about it, which means Modern is dying at the moment.
Yeah, you know, there's the, you know, whole, you know, scare of, oh, it's dying, but like, you know, we started playing, like, right when Modern was, like, first getting going. So, right before that, there was like, ooh, Modern, and like, ooh, you can, there's now something between Standard and Legacy, you know, and you know, now your cards, you don't have to throw them away when they rotate and all this stuff. And it was
extended,
like,
before that, but yeah, same. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, but that was like hot garbage. so anyways, you know, Wizards was kind of like almost like making this big promise, like, ooh, Modern, now your cards won't depreciate so much and this and that. And and then now it's only like 6 years later, five, 6 years, seven, that like now they're just kind of, even though they're still giving us Modern Masters, which is amazing, they're kind of retracting everything else. from like coverage wise and from standard competitive play wise.
Yeah, well, we'll see after this set if we get another round of Masters after that.
Well, I mean, probably not. I think they're going to have to wait some years before they do another Modern Masters, because this is
Frontier Masters.
Yeah, this is button okay. up right
Masters of Frontier.
This is button up right against
Tiny Leader Staples Box.
I'm down.
Down.
This is button
that,
up.
That goes a vast array of cards yes, right there.
This is button up right against. I think the cutoff line was M14. Was it
for what?
For this Modern Masters.
I don't know.
Well, you know, Return to Ravnica Block yes. M14. Yeah. So it's buttoned up right against that. And, you know, who knows? I mean, they could still go back and reprint a bunch of stuff that they haven't reprint, you know, from 9th to M14, because there's still a shitload
of stuff.
Oh, they will.
Stuff. Yeah, they're not going to definitely do. No, they're going to
print everything. But who knows if they're going to wait, like, you know, till Modern Masters 2021 or, like, whatever, you know. Who knows? So we'll have to wait and see. Wild speculation, though, is our game.
Yeah, I was wondering if they're doing another Turtle Masters, too.
Yeah, they could also do that in place of it. What do we have next to look at there, Mr. Stinky Pants?
I'm on Ket. So we got...
What's I'm on Ket?
That is the next set after Aether Revolt.
Yeah,
comes out
it is.
In April, I think.
It's like an Egyptian right? set.
Comes out in April, I think. Anyways,
that sounds right.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think it's April 20th, I believe, when it was released.
So what's up with that art, though?
Some sweet-looking shit there, man. We got all kinds of different Egyptian-type gods. You know, from that's the theme set of this new world we're going to, is the Egyptian-themed. Which I'm pretty excited about, because my brother likes to play a little bit of Magic. Like, he's, you know, he's played a little bit here and there. He's played, you know, Duels of the Planeswalkers and things like that. And he owns a few cards. He's not, like, full-on in the game. But he loves... Egyptian, you know, history and world, like that, things like that, or whatever. So, with us going to this theme world, I'm gonna be getting him into the game of Magic with me and playing with him at home and stuff. So, it's gonna be pretty cool.
So they basically said that there's gonna be some gods in this, and we can only assume that they're going to be, you know, on cards. You know, so we're gonna have another 4, 5, 6, 7 god type cards. You know,
it might not be God. They didn't say God. But, I mean, like, we can assume that it's gods from the art.
Well, it does say something in the lore about having gods
okay,
on the
plane. Okay, I haven't seen that yet, then. So, I mean, I think it's pretty safe to assume that it's gods, but I have not seen anything. You have, I guess, but I haven't, so.
So, there's going to be a god, hopefully more god subtypes. The first image here is a cat who got its face fucking stuck in a... six-pack holder? I don't know. What the fuck? It looks weird. It's just not like a regular cat face. It's like poking through a banana peel. I don't know what the fuck.
Stupid. Basically that.
Yeah. Banana peel
nailed
cat god.
It. Yeah.
Next we have, which is super weird, like a stork? What the fuck is
yeah.
that?
Yeah, but it looks, I think that one looks awesome.
Stork
though.
Of
baby. I love that
it's
art.
It's the baby
it
making
also
god.
Kind of looks like a sliver head, but yeah, it'd be a stork.
I think it's more like an earthworm gym head.
There you
Nailed
go.
It.
Fuck me.
Nailed it. Next we have, which, when I was looking at all the arts, I don't know if I skipped this one or what, but I just saw it the other day, like for the first time. It's a fucking crocodile, or no, alligator, excuse me. Crocodiles have shorter, longer snouts, or longer, skinnier. Alligator head god, and I don't know, it just looks badass. I'm sorry I know about animals, okay? Fuck. So
not a lot, though.
Yeah, a little. So alligator head god. Next we have what's that? A wolf god. Who got a pie smashed in his face, and now he's
it's a doge.
It's a doge. And last but not least, we have
a snake.
We had the snake god.
A snake.
So it's totally fun to try and guess. Oh, also we have three planeswalker arts, which is Gideon, Liliana, and Nyssa. Because they're
doing the
goddamn
fucking Gatewatch still.
Fucking goddamn
God, I'm
Gatewatch.
So tired of the fucking Gatewatch.
Yeah, can we
so
just...
So fucking tired of
Don't you
it.
Know this is when they all lose, though?
Can somebody just...
I hope so. Go Nicol Bolas. I'm rooting for you.
Can somebody just...
For Liliana needs to survive because she's the best.
Can somebody just die already? Like
Gideon.
Anybody.
Kill fucking Gideon.
So we can only assume that these are, like, the shards because Nicol Bolas is, like, has been in past Grixis, So hopefully looking at those shards.
And based off of the dark intimations that we got in Aether Revolt, Nicobolus will be Grixis again.
Yeah. And so we can only guess that these gods are going to be some sort of those shards, so I'm excited.
And we also noticed that the Liliana artwork is the same as Tasker.
Yes. Who was it? Loader or somebody fucking posted that? Like the pictures side by side? He's like, there's something similar between these pictures. They both have
zombies and bananas.
Yeah, zombie servants with bananas on their heads. Like, really? You couldn't do oranges. Do they not have oranges in the multiverse? Is that something that doesn't exist?
Do you really want Liliana eating an orange, or do you want her a banana?
I'm
pretty sure.
Just put a plate of dicks next to her, whatever.
Pretty sure we're going for eggplant here.
Yeah. Like, some popsicles? I don't know. Yeah. Something drippy.
Oh, God. I just want, like, the big, you know, the turkey leg, and then she just pulls at the bone.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just, and then all of a sudden, just whoop, clean bone comes out. They're like, that's my girl.
I really want Ashiok in this set.
Well, there's Ashiok art that we thought, right, on one of the... Oh, no, there's Vraska art. Never mind.
Yeah,
there's a Vraska art.
That's on the next block.
On the next block.
Yeah.
But then also, if you look at, like, you know, who was it? Vorthos, Mike, or whatever.
Yeah.
Going back and looking at things. Ashiok's, like, his wares and his, you know, his clothing.
I don't think Ashiok has a gender. But anyways, okay, yeah. Well, easier to say him.
Yeah. We would call it her, him, whatever. Fucking transgender Ashiok. Where the fuck you want to say?
Does
that
have
a head?
Z? Is that, that's like the transgender, like,
is it?
Pronoun? Like, Zem, Zed, Z?
Okay.
So, whatever.
PC crap, I don't care. Anyways, I love Ashiok. And so, like, the armor and whatnot that he, she, it's wearing has ties to this particular world through different lores and different pictures and things, so... I really hope Ashiok comes in here. And
I mean, maybe we could see Ashiok in the next set, you know, because...
Well, whatever. Whether it's this set or the next set in this world, it's more Ashiok
in
this world.
In the block.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would fucking love that. And I love that there's...
He didn't fit in the Theros themes, you know, so, like... No, they talked about, like, you know, he doesn't really go with what's going on there.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's as if he came from a different plane, and so I hope this is his home world.
See, that's... This is exactly why fuck the Gatewatch.
Because
like soaking up the story from all these other cool characters that we can be learning about and
or
having interactions
new
with.
Or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
but
yeah.
It's soaking it up in the Gatewatch. Yeah. I don't give a fuck. I know these people. I know where they came from, what they're doing, who they're fucking, you know, like, whatever. I want to hear about all... I want to hear about Vraska. I want to hear about Ashiok. I want to get all up in that ass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, both of them.
Ashiok.
Yeah. Get up in that Ashiok. So, yeah. These gods look pretty cool. It comes out April 28th.
Sweet.
Also,
yeah.
One in every four packs will have a full art land, all featuring Nicobolus' horns.
So, these look pretty sick.
I think they look amazing.
Yeah.
Who knows if they're going to come in foil or not.
I imagine they'll come in foil.
Dude, this Plains one? Fucking hot garbage.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
That's what most Plains ones
are. Are you serious?
Yeah.
How is that not the worst one?
That is... I think they're all great.
Yeah, but the two worst are Forest and Plains.
Hey, fine. Give me whatever you open.
The Plains one is a horizon with birds.
Yeah, I think it's dope.
That's most that. Plains.
No, I think it's dope. I think all of them are dope.
I think that's the worst one. I think the best one...
The Swamp. Personally,
I think the mountain.
Pretty sick,
the mountain
though.
Is
yeah, mountain's pretty sick though.
The mountain, and then the swamp, and then maybe like forest, islands, plains. Plains is obviously garbage.
Yeah,
I wish they would have done like you know, like they have the sun in all these. I wish they would have done like maybe like a moon or something. Well, I guess you can't really see like. The sun too much in the swamp one. But obviously it's daytime, which is garbage. Hot garbage. Also, we have arch enemy Nicobolus coming out. Wanna fight against Nicobolus himself? Or maybe you want to play as the Dastardly Dragon. Take on three friends at once. Either way, Toy Fair. I don't know who the fuck Toy Fair is. That's the people who are releasing this art or got like, you know, okayed from Wizards to release all this art. They provided us an early look at the packaging for this cool product. Yeah, I don't really care about Arch Enemy. I don't.
That's kind of like the Garrick thing, right?
Or what? No. Arch Enemy is completely different. Where
it's like a whole.
It's like three against thing. One. You know, somebody plays as Nicol Bolas, which, you know, like super powerful, and then there's three quote unquote planeswalkers fighting against him.
So it's like its own board game with cards? I don't know.
No, it's just like, it's just magic. It's just, it sets you up with.
Yeah, so it's a Garrick type of thing. Apex Predator. You have the big Garrick card.
Yeah, but that didn't provide you with specific decks and everything,
okay.
I don't think.
Gotcha, okay. So
that was just like the one card. That was like a very casual version of this, if that's okay. What you're thinking.
But, yeah, but I mean, like,
same thing.
Basic concept.
Yeah. Very casual.
That's all I'm getting at.
But yeah, that'll, what is that, like $50 or something like that? I think it's $40
coming
out in a couple months.
I'm not going to get it.
I'm just going to buy like 100 sets of it. I think it's going to go up. I think the value is going to skyrocket.
Yeah,
my
probably.
Finance part. I'll probably buy it.
I like having the random shit like that.
I like the anthology stuff. I don't like the From the Vaults and most of the other stuff. But.
Yeah.
And we also got art from those shitty intro deck Planeswalkers. We got new art from Liliana and Gideon. And I've noticed that the like intro pack Planeswalkers always have like very childish.
Cartoony.
Yeah. Cartoony looking art where it's not like as serious. There's a
I
lot
feel
of
like these are like the worst offenders of that right here.
Yeah, there's a lot
and
of
the Chandra one was pretty bad too.
Not a lot of sharp corners.
They're like drawn in crayon or something.
Yeah,
at this point.
It's
I don't
pretty,
know.
Pretty bad.
Some weird pastels going on here.
But I mean, we get two new Liliana, so
it's
hard,
like
it's
14-year-old fan art.
Yeah, pretty much. What's next on the docket, fellas?
I don't know. I actually have no idea.
Well, exciting news, while you guys think of something else to talk about. We have all the cards from the Conspiracy Cube that we're building on the way. I'd say 3/4 of the cards have been sleeved, as well as the lands. And we just were waiting in the mail for the rest of the cards. And we're using full art lands... for the lands.
That you're going to sleeve up.
That I'm going to sleeve up, which is amazing. But we finally pulled the trigger on the rest of the cards. So that box we got, that custom box we got, is just so sexy. And I just can't wait to play it. I think one of... Who's that dude on Twitter who... Remember he has like the deep black guy voice, but he's like a pasty white guy? Saborg?
I don't know.
Anyways, he's a Magic streamer.
Talking the Chocolate Thunder guy?
From San Diego. So we'll have to get some of our listeners.
I don't know
fans
what we're talking about at all right now. So
to play the cube.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So anyways.
Mr. Been Thinking a Lot can come over.
Yeah, exactly. If my girlfriend isn't weird. She's fucking weird. She's like, I don't want these like random people coming over. I'm like, well, they're not like random. Like, I met him. He seems all right. Like, I don't
he
know.
He has 20 cats. How harmful can he be?
Any of us could have like fucking bunch of dead badgers in our basement. You know, like, who knows?
You should never let me come over in the first place.
Yeah,
anybody else probably fine.
Yeah, that, if that's the bar, then
yeah,
fucking
come
it's
on.
An open door invitation at this point.
Let's be honest here.
So what do we got next?
So this is something I want to talk about. So there's been a couple cool decks that, you know, more or less have been from like Saffronov and the community or whatever. And one of the ones that I've seen played a few times that is like pretty damn amazing. But it's something that like it's kind of a one trick pony in a lot of ways. So it's kind of like that. What we just mentioned, that Goryeo's Vengeance style one or something like that, where it only does like one or two things, so it's not very interactive and anything too crazy, but it might be, it's possibly, it's I think it's the quickest Emrakul in Modern, which is pretty crazy. You can be as fast as a turn two Emrakul, which is fucking insane. So, let's go through the list. It's Expertise Fuse. So when Brain in the Jar got spoiled, you know, like a year ago or 9 months ago, whatever. Brain in the Jar was that artifact for 2 mana, and you can tap it and play an instant card, or I think maybe, instant or sorcery from your hand without paying its mana cost, as long as it had like the Aether Vial type counters on it. And you would be able to cast in modern something like the ancestral, vision? Right, is that what the card is? Yep. So you'd be able to cast something that has that suspend mechanic just right away without having the counters, because it doesn't have, it just avoids all mana cost and you just simply cast it. So, or something like how Cascade is able to go into, what's the card that brings everything back from the graveyard? What is that one? I know there's a deck about that one too. I forget the
name. Ad Nauseam?
No, it's not Ad Nauseam, but it's one of those style ones. Anyway, so this one works alongside that with the Brain in the Jar, but it adds basically four more copies of Brain in the Jar through the new expertises that we had from Aether Revolt. So we have Kerry Zev's expertise and SRAM's expertise. Kerry Zev's expertise is one red, so three mana for sorcery. You basically get to act of treason a creature, which is not really that relevant. Like, it is because you need a creature on the battlefield to even target to use the spell. But the reason you're playing it is not because of that. It's just a little tiny bonus. The reason you're playing it is because the second ability allows you to cast an instant or sorcery, or cast any card, I'm sorry, with converted mana cost two or less from your hand. And the next one is SRAM's expertise. Has the same kind of text, but it makes three 1/1 servos instead, and you can cast something for three mana cost or less. Once again, it could say one mana cost, or it doesn't matter what mana cost it is, because all you're doing is casting... well, it kind of does. You have to be casting two mana cost stuff or less. Okay, so moving on to what it actually does. It casts Beck Call or Breaking and Entering, which is the fuse cards from a long time ago, but also was in Dragon's Maze. Beck Call is one that, for two mana, one half of it says, whatever creature enters the battlefield this turn, draw a card each time. And then the second part, the call, it creates four 1/1 bird tokens. So when you use an expertise or Brain in the Jar to activate Beck, it also activates Call. It just go ahead and fuses them without paying the additional cost. It would be eight mana, but now it's only two, but it's essentially free because of these Brain in the Jar expertise things. So when Beck Call comes down from one of your 12 enablers, then you make four 1/1 birds, and then you draw four cards. While Kerry Zev's expertise, stealing one of their creatures and attacking with haste, or SRAM's expertise, creating three servos, then four birds, and then drawing seven cards in that order. So that would be awesome. To draw that much shit entering this turn. Fucking crazy. So you have that, and then you have Breaking and Entering. And Breaking is also two mana for the first half and then six mana for the second half. Same cost as the other one. But this one is target player puts the top eight cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard. And then Entering is put a creature card from a graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. It gains haste until end of turn. So this is the one that has to do with Emrakul. And what you can do is, on turn one, you can play, say, like a Birds of Paradise. And then on turn two, you can play Kerry Zev's Expertise, which is three mana. And you're able to... Kerry Zev's Expertise. Then you're able to steal a creature or whatever, or just target your own Birds of Paradise. Then you're able to cast Breaking and Entering. You mill the top eight cards of your library. If you hit one of the powerhouse cards at this deck... is the win condition of, which is three Grizzlebrand, two Ulamog, the Infinite Gyre, or four Emrakul, the Aeon's Torn, whatever it is, then you're able to target it when it's in the graveyard, put it on the battlefield with haste. So Emrakul has this little clause that, like, when it hits the graveyard, then this little ability goes in the stack and says that you basically shuffle your graveyard back into your library. And while that's on the stack, you're able to use Entering and target it and then bring it back into the battlefield. So on turn two, you're able to get Emrakul with haste onto the battlefield, Annihilator 6, 15-15, protection from all colors or whatever it is, flying. Basically, you have a, say, 1 in, 25% chance, or a little higher than that, 1 in maybe like 35% chance of getting an Emrakul from a Breaking and Entering, attacking, and just totally murdering your opponent on turn two. Pretty insane. The other ones, they don't have haste. If they do, sometimes they come back to your hand, the other modern decks that are out there. This one is just stays in the battlefield, and it has haste, and you fuck shit up. And if you don't get Emrakul, you can get Grizzlebrand, which can be a big life swing, but also draw you a bunch of cards so you're ready to combo off the next turn again and try for an Ulamog or an Emrakul or a second Grizzlebrand. Also, if you don't have something like Birds of Paradise, Noble Hierarch, or Dryad Arbor, or one of those enablers, those mana dorks to get you that really, really fast turn two, turn three kill, then you have four Simeon Spirit Guide to do the same thing. So if you need to play Sram's Expertise because you don't have Kerry Zev or Bringing in the Jar, that one's one more mana. On turn two, you're still able to do it by exiling a Simeon Spirit Guide. So pretty gnarly stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's fast. Very, very fast. But the deck only does one thing. The best part about it is that as far as stopping the combo is that there's three different combo enablers and three different targets for the combo. So if you do play something like what's the one that you target with Phyrexian Mana, you can target a card in the graveyard.
Surgical Extraction.
You can do that, but it's not going to work and shut down the entire deck. It's going to just stop that turn, most likely, but you're not able to, you know, remove all three hits, the Grizzlebrand, Ulamog, and Emrakul right away. So that's pretty much the deck. It doesn't do anything else besides that. It has all the enabling cards, the payoffs, and mana dorks, and nothing else. The sideboard is basically, you know, Leyline of Sanctity and Artifact and Enchantment Removal. That is stuff like, you know, Rest in Peace and whatever, just to stop that. But that's pretty much it. There's really not anything else. It has this Chancellor of the Annex. It's seven mana card that you're not really using as a win condition. It's just, if you have it in your opening hand, the first spell your opponent plays gets countered unless they pay one colorless. So it's able to basically put this like regeneration spell onto their first spell, saying like, hey, you trying to stop my combo when I go off on turn two? Well, you have to pay one additional mana to do it. And most decks are not going to be able to generate the additional mana. They're going to have exactly the counter, exactly the spell pierce, exactly something to stop it, and that their spell will get countered because of Chancellor of the Annex. So if you're planning to get something that you feel can counter it on turn two, turn three, then you need to play bring in four of these. If they're playing a lot of black Thoughtseize and Inquisition and shit like that, then you got four lane Line of Sanctity, and of course maybe combo decks that are able to like Grape Shot you or something like that, bring those in. And otherwise, I'm sure the Ancient Grudges and Nature's Claim are just that, you know, you're just getting rid of the rest of the bullshit that's out there. I'm sure like Chalice of the Void and shit like that could be a big pain too. So, but yeah, that's pretty much it. That was a cool deck though. I've seen it played, and I've seen a bunch of turn two, you know, Grizzlebrands and Emrakuls, and I've seen a bunch of turn three ones, so it's super fast. So yeah, I wanted to mention that one. That one's pretty sick. It says it's like $800 in paper and about $300 online. But it's a lot of money just for doing one trick. It's got to be so fun for that first week of playing it, and after that you're like just rolling the dice and see if you can win it or not. It's just like, do I have the good opening hand? Okay, I do, I don't, that's it. There's not like card filtering or none of that shit, so you're not even going to be able to find the piece. You're just looking for a good opening hand. But yeah, that's what I wanted to say. What do you got? Anything? Anything fun? Anything exciting? Do you poop on the lawn? What are you doing?
No, I need to poop. There's no teepee.
Whoa. Oh. Behind you, right there.
Yeah, boom, right there.
Damn, son.
It's all dirty.
Gross.
I got my ass somehow.
I mean, I have another deck I can talk about, but I don't really have... There's not really other Magic news or something like that. We have our decks. We have our... You have your Jeskai Control deck from Frontier. I have my Grixis one if we wanted to go into something like that, but... Other than that,
yeah, you know. My Jeskai Control deck in Frontier, I mean, I already talked about it, but it is doing good things in the play group and then outside of the play group. It might be my strongest deck just because it's getting the most results. It's very resilient, and it's main board, it's set up to go against creature decks. It can survive against control mirrors, and then with sideboard, it just destroys the control mirror. So I've been having a lot of fun with that. I also brewed up a just mono red go fast deck in Frontier with, I mean, just every good red three or under drop. And I'm also playing because I'm trying to utilize What's the expertise? The red expertise.
Yeah, Carrie Zevs.
Yeah, that one. I'm trying to utilize that one. So I have a lot of two and under drops, playing Shocks, Lightning Strikes.
I play one in my Atarka deck. I mean, I think it seems good just to be able to do that and then Dragon Fodder or something like that alongside. I mean, that's a good move.
Yeah, I mean, also just as a finisher, you know, those the red decks have a lot of trouble in the late game running out of steam or what have you. So I've been trying to play test that.
Yeah, you can even steal vehicles with it. I mean, that's pretty sweet to have a vehicle that's just sitting there waiting to be a blocker and they haven't crewed it yet. And then you're like, well, I'm just going to steal it instead.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to crew it with one of my 1/1s or whatever. Just your, what is that one? The copter, you know, the smuggler's copter. Yeah. Just get something like that. Boom, done.
So, you know what? On MTGO, I've noticed, you know, in the beginning, it was very slow to get games. Not a lot of people had heard about Frontier yet or didn't really put two and two together about how to play it on MTGO. And then there was a big insurgence, and there was a lot of people playing, and I could get a game anytime. And then now it's kind of died back down a little.
Yeah, I feel that. I friended some people online that I had some cool builds or whatever that I was talking to. Then so I'm able to like see if they're online for a quick, you know, challenge. But other than that, I do agree that I have been seeing less and less people online.
So speaking of Frontier Online, I was playing a guy, and you know, most people are pretty cool, especially with Frontier, because it's such a new format that people are interacting and they're you know, like I was running that mono red deck, and another guy was running a similar deck, but it was three color, and he was like, well, how many lands are you running? And we were like really comparing notes. It was like legit playtesting, and it wasn't like, oh, fuck you, you just cast that. It was like, oh, how interesting. Okay, well, I'm running 22 and I'm getting flooded. I'm running 20 and I feel like I don't have enough. You know, okay, well, maybe 21 will, you know, do best for both of our decks. It was just like really cool to interact with somebody like that. And I'm desperately looking for I think I bookmarked it.
Oh, the guy's name or what?
Oh, the website for this motherfucker. No, Battle on the Frontier. So I believe this guy on Twitter, his name is Tiny Tim?
Yeah,
I
something like
say.
That, yeah.
Tiny Tim at underscore Tiny Tim 123 underscore. Apparently I have no internet connection, which is just make... Okay, there it goes. So the website is battleonthefrontier.weebly.com, W-E-E-B-L-Y.com. And Battle on the Frontier, sponsored by Mana Traders. What is this, you might ask? Well, Battle on the Frontier is a player-run tournament that you... Yes, you can enter for free to battle for one of our many prizes. So basically, you're just getting credits on a bot. But it is a free Frontier tournament on Magic Online. So it says, you know, first place gets 7 bot credits, second place 4, third, fourth, 2, fifth, eighth, 1. Anyways, 5 credits per week will be added to the season leaderboard prize pool. So if you go to this website, it will give you steps on how to join this wonderful little tournament. It's just, it's cool that players are willing to kind of do a DIY sort of thing. Because if you're anything like me, you don't really have time to go out to the shops. And if you do, you don't have time to like pinpoint where exactly, like, hey, are you doing Frontier? Like, what's going on? Like, the only shop I know that's playing Frontier is, what the fuck is that place called?
What, over here, TC?
Yeah, TC Rockets. They're playing on Saturdays at, like, noon or 1 or something. Anyways, I got work at, like, 2, so I can't really make that. but it's cool that people are trying to do it on MTGO, so... This gives you kind of a where to go to sign up when they do it.
Yeah, they did something like Sunday at noon or some crap like that.
Yeah, Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern time. So definitely check out this website. it's cool that the community's taken it this far. You know, like, this didn't really happen with Tiny Leaders. Granted, you can't play Tiny Leaders on MTGO, but, you know, we're finding ways to play this, even though it's not sanctioned quite yet, and that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's easier to play, because, like, Freeform, you can't really... You can't play Tiny Leaders because you don't have a commander spot.
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't... Even if you wanted to just create it yourself, you still can't get a commander there, so it doesn't really help, you know? It's kind of a bummer that it works out that way.
Yep. So, shout out to you, Tiny Tim. Keep on frontiering on, my friend.
Yeah, it's pretty badass.
Do we have anything else to talk about this week?
No.
Besides all of our fucking morning shits that we're intermittently dropping.
Yeah. No? I have poop too, so.
Okay, fantastic. Well, that is it for episode 103 of If Lands Could Kill.
My goodness.
All the shit is in the show notes, our Twitter handles, every blue moon we do stream, and all that good stuff. I know I've been talking about it, I'm going to put up some deck techs for some of my Frontier decks, just because I'm happy with where they're going. They're not 100% finished or polished by any means, but I do want to just... make a video on them, so I will be posting it. You'll see it all on Twitter, so follow us and or me on there. And that's it for episode 103. I'm Knife City.
Sewing Crow.
And Hot Sauce.
And we'll catch you guys some other time than now, because now is over, and we'll catch you the not now time.
The not now time. Now. I like it.
No. I gotta go. Were your balls just out?
No.
Oh, you smell balls? Sour balls?
I don't know why I know, but.
Well, I looked up as you were like.
No,
it's too cold for that, dude. Well, I know, but he's not gonna show a small little fucking.
They're hanging pretty low for some reason. I don't know why. They're like not scared. They're like, what? No, but like, you know, when you're.
Why'd you prove it?
The chill.
Prove it. Put them on the table right now.
The inner.
Present it.
You know how your jeans go like this, and then sometimes this back one gets into the flap of your boxers. You know, it gets like tucked in. No, never.
All right. I don't even know what you're talking about right now.
Yeah.
What gets on your boxers?
This, right here. Yeah. And then it goes in here.
Oh.
And you're like,
oh. No. I only wear boxer briefs, so I don't have that. Briefs. They don't have it in the middle. It's like there's like two. There's like one on this side, one on this side. There's nothing.
It's like wearing tidy whities.
Yeah, I know.
The patch hole.
Weird.
Boxer briefs here. Dude, like, I mean, I wore boxers forever, and then I discovered boxer briefs and was like, why have I ever been wearing boxers? These are terrible compared to boxer briefs.
Yeah. Especially if you're a working man.
Oh, man.
Like, do you sleep with, like, a fucking jean blanket, or do you sleep with, like, microfiber? And, like, it's like, you fucking...
I want a jean blanket so bad
you
fucking, now.
You sleep with a jean blanket, and you're like, God, this thing is itchy and shitty. Like, God, like, tuck
what
in.
What kind of boxers are you wearing?
Regular boxers. They suck. I thought they were the
Those, like, flappy, like, loose, nothing boxers.
Yeah.
Dude, I'll give you a pair of boxer briefs. You can try them out.
I've had boxer briefs.
Oh, my God. They're
just all up in my business, bro. I like my shit to flap.
Yeah, then you can just go ahead and get your shit, like, you know.
No, I like it to just roll over.
You can wear tight pants that are formed on the side of your leg.
They're not, like, tight.
I feel like I'm wearing diapers if there's, like, any, like, if it goes down, it has to be tight or nothing.
I have some that are tight, and they are annoying to wear. They are, like, really fucking tight.
Like those fucking Star Wars underwear I have?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have, like, something like that. Yeah. I have some Under Armour
ones. It's just, like, you can clearly see the outline of the head of my dick when I wear those.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every vein and everything.
Yes. Down the head.
You're like, and that's where my genital warts are. Oh.